Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Big 12 has filed a federal lawsuit against Texas Tech to sanction the school for playing quarterback Brendan Sorsby this season. Last week, Sorsby was granted a temporary injunction to play after he admitted to breaking NCAA rules for sports betting. League presidents will meet today to discuss potential punishments for Sorsby. NBA, the Knicks topped the Spurs 94-90 Saturday for their first title in 53 years. Jalen Brunson scored 45 points in Game 5 to win Finals MVP. NHL, the Hurricanes blanked the Golden Knights 3-0 Sunday to win the Stanley Cup Final in six games. 37-year-old Jordan Staal won the Conn Smythe Trophy, becoming the oldest to win the award. World Cup, the crew Steven Moreira and Cape Verde face Spain here at noon. Belgium and Egypt at 3, Saudi Arabia and Uruguay at 6, Iran and New Zealand at 9. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, BMIFCU.org/consolidate.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice in the building today for AR is the one and only Dylan Tyre. DT on the board today for TLC is Isaiah Jacob. Fellas, welcome in. DT, it's great to see you again. How you feeling, big dog? What's been going on?
It is great to be back. Thanks so much for having me. I feel like whenever you and I get together, we have so much fun doing this show. Yeah, so I've really been eagerly anticipating doing this with you. And when I saw Isaiah here today, I didn't know TLC was out. I was disappointed about that because I love going back and forth with TLC. Mm-hmm. But Isaiah, you're a great replacement. I love you, too. We were chatting about our summers out there. So while I'm disappointed that TLC is not here, I was very happy to learn that you would be replacing him today. So thanks, guys. I'm eager for the show.
Great to have you here. Zeke, what's been going on, man? How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling fantastic. I did morning juice this morning, so I won't lie. I am punching in a long day here today, okay, but I'm excited for the next 3 hours. Let's make this show better than that one was earlier this morning.
Two-a-days never hurt nobody.
Exactly.
Two-a-days never hurt nobody. I hope everybody listening had a great weekend. We love and appreciate you. Here's the menu for today. We got a lot to get into on a Monday coming off a pretty cool sports weekend. Bottom of this hour, we'll put a bow on the NBA season with Keith Smith from the NBA Front Office Show. 1 o'clock is your segment. The floor is yours. 614-821-9710 is our hotline number. The best caller is going to get a $25 gift card to Skyline Chili. If you're new to the show and you don't know what the segment is, all it is you call in, you talk about whatever you want to weigh in on, whether it's your sports team, something happening in the world of entertainment or sports. We want to hear from you. So 1 o'clock, the floor is yours. Get in line. 614-821-9710 is our number. The hotline is 614-869-1475, but we want you to call 821-9710. 1:30, Adam King, 10 TV. He'll stop by. That's always a good time. And then 2:30, Stephen Means from Cleveland.com joins the show to talk all things Ohio State football. If you miss any of this, don't worry, folks. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to three will be waiting there for you. Dylan, what's been going on, man? You're heavily involved with the Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Always rocking and rolling with them, doing some great work over there with the gang there. What's your summer been looking like coming out of the season, my man?
A lot of golf, which I've enjoyed. Honestly, it's been very, very nice. I've had a busy summer. Lots of events on the weekends for whatever reasons, between weddings, trips. It's been nice, but I've been out on the golf course during the weeknights, getting in the gym too. Gotta stay trim, you know.
You look good.
I appreciate that. We're trying to gear up for a big trip to Japan later on this summer, so I'm getting it all tight, and then I'm going to let it all hang out in Japan.
I've never been to Japan. Have a passport that I have not used once yet.
Wow.
Best overseas trip for you so far?
Oh, man. Well, not overseas, but I like going to Canada a whole lot.
Okay.
I gotta say though, the best trip to a foreign land I've been on so far was my honeymoon last summer to Saint Lucia, the white sand beaches of Saint Lucia. It was beautiful.
I see the vision. What was beautiful in the sports world was the Canes winning the Stanley Cup in the NHL, and on the NBA side of things, the New York Knicks finally getting it done after 53 years. And there are certain things and certain accomplishments that you can check off as an athlete to me that just hit a little different. And winning a championship for certain franchises like the Knicks hits a little different. And I think their story is just really cool. I honestly do. For me personally, when you think about the trio of the Villanova guys that we all watched go on that run during March Madness, on their way to a national championship there, finding a way and had some luck too, coming their way too, to play again together and then winning a championship for the New York Knicks. I mean, just the story those three can tell themselves, I think is really, really cool. When you talk about Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart, and then you gotta feel bad, at least me, a little bit for Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah,
like Dante DiVincenzo was one of the Villanova boys, for the folks that don't know or maybe forgot, that was on the Knicks. And then the Knicks said, we need a little bit of an upgrade. That's how they got Karl-Anthony Towns to be a part of this championship run. He gets sent out to Minnesota, but he's got to be a little salty today watching his boys go all the way to the top of the mountain without him when he was in that locker room before.
That certainly came to mind for me. I thought a lot about Dante DiVincenzo and the role that he used to play there. And obviously, you know, him going out brings them Karl-Anthony Towns, and he played such a big part of the championship series for the Knicks. I mean, it was so fun. Like, what more could you have asked for out of an NBA Finals? I guess if you're a Spurs fan, them winning. But numbers-wise, I think we saw the first, third, and fifth largest comeback victories in NBA Finals history in this series. Three of the top five in this series. How about this for you? According to ESPN Analytics, in the four games the Spurs lost in the NBA Finals, they had a 91.6% chance of winning Game 1 up 13, 72.8% chance of winning Game 2 up 2 with a minute left in the fourth, a 99.6% chance of winning Game 4 up 20 points with 9:30 left, and a 95.4% chance of winning Game 5 up 10 points with 7:54 left in the fourth. Didn't this entire series have the feeling that if the Knicks were down 12 points, it was over? They were going to come back and win.
I know. I know. And you mentioned the Game 4 heartbreak. That's one that if you're a Spurs fan, if you're a guy on that roster, you're Mitch Johnson, their head coach, you may not ever get over that because it was right there for the taking. And then here comes OG Anunoby.
It's unbelievable, you know, how he had to control it and tip it in from. I mean, like I said, you know, that has to be the most iconic shot in the history of New York basketball. I mean, I'm not you guys. You guys know better than me, but it was just unbelievable.
And if you missed the call, here's Mike Breen just highlighting and just, you know, painting the picture of that incredible moment with OG Anunoby.
Brunson gets it, fires up a three. Shot no good. The tip, it's gone! It's gone! It's gone! With 1.2 remaining, Knicks take the lead. OG Anunoby, and it's 107-106.
You know, it's the New York Knicks, I know they are a big market, obviously, but they didn't feel to me like a big market team.
No.
With the way that they put this together, it didn't feel like, you know, the Dodgers over the last couple of years where it's just they're throwing just so much money at all of this. And look, it worked out for the Dodgers in the way that they won the World Series last year. But this is a big market team that has a small-ish market core feel to it. Like the distraction of how loud the celebration is and the Stephen A's and the Spike Lee's and the celebrities and all that is massive. I get that. But I just think from a basketball part of it, Dylan, I don't view this as a championship that's necessarily bought. Do you?
No, I mean, and there are honestly a lot of similarities for me between the NHL champion Carolina Hurricanes and the NBA champion New York Knicks. Obviously much different markets when it comes to the size and the scope, but both of these teams, I think, built the right way, and they hung around to get as many kicks at the can as they possibly could. Like, the Knicks have been hovering, right? For the last 8 years, the Carolina Hurricanes have been on the precipice of doing what they did last night against the Vegas Golden Knights, and they finally got over that hump. It shows that if you build the right way and give yourself that opportunity, you know, it's going to break your way eventually. You know, the Knicks, I think, made even more drastic changes than Carolina with the new head coach and everything. Mm-hmm. Carolina really stuck with it. They traded players and changed guys in and out of the lineup every year like everybody does. But you think about some of these moves that the Knicks were able to make and bolster their depth. And, you know, I think depth is really what it comes down to. All those 3-and-D wings mm-hmm. on the New York Knicks. Mm-hmm. That was the difference in so many of the series leading up to the NBA final. And then when it came to crunch time in the final, this guy, Jalen Brunson, even though he's undersized, he can get to the rim like nobody else. And that was the difference, right?
A 45 piece for Jalen Brunson in a closeout game, the most points scored by any Knick in finals history. And so he's just been a automatic bucket for them for years. We mentioned how this is a bit of a tough couple days for Dante DiVincenzo, also tough couple days for Becky Hammon as well,
yikes,
who is the head coach for the Las Vegas Aces, who 3 years ago came out and said that the Knicks are never going to win a championship because their star player is only 6'2". And so, yeah, you know, when you make takes like that, you're going to have to come back around and eat some crow. And so she's going to have to deal with that as well. But it's just absolutely wild that a fan base that was absolutely starved for this has absolutely cashed in. And like the Knicks tape stuff, the videos that we see of that fan base, DT, on the street is absolutely insane. I haven't seen the latest one yet. They haven't released one yet. I'm sure I think their celebration is on Thursday. That's going to be an absolute movie. But yeah, it feels to me kind of like if the Browns were to ever win a Super Bowl, it would feel this way from the fan base, the amount of joy that would just come over their bodies because they had to wait so long for this.
It's nice to see that fan base unlocked. Like it was loading the last few years, right? You'd see them deep in the playoffs and those side talk videos would come out and you're like, oh, man.
Bing bong. Bing bong. They're not even playing the Atlanta Hawks and they're sitting there chanting F. Trae Young. That's how crazy their fan base is. Coming up, how much has Shedeur Sanders grown over the last few months? Browns GM Andrew Berry will tell you next. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the
end.
The Reds are on the Fans' family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine to kick off the work week and much cooler with highs only getting in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with lows down into the 50s. Tuesday will be a mostly sunny day and warmer with a little bit more wind and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. These two have a ton in common. Anthony loves hockey, and Maddie's always cold. This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Maddie Ice, Dylan Tyer rocking out with you today. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. Bottom of the hour, Keith Smith, the NBA front office show. We'll put a bow on the NBA season. Speaking of basketball here locally, Dylan, it looks like some pretty exciting Buckeye basketball news just dropped. We've been made aware that five-star commit LJ Smith is reclassifying. So he was supposed to be in the 2027 class. He is now going to be in the 2026 class. And so there's a lot of excitement out there about McDonald's All-American Anthony Thompson coming in as a forward. And so now you'll have, by the looks of it, a combo guard in LJ Smith that obviously is really, really talented by the looks of it from the people that are on the basketball circuit and really locked in on all these people, Dylan, that you're going to have two guys coming in here that have, in the eyes of some, NBA potential that are going to be now playing together next season. I think this is exciting.
This is huge for Ohio State. I mean, you think about what Diebler has already brought in via the transfer portal, Justin Pippen coming in from Cal, Curtis Givens coming in from Memphis, among some other guys. Anthony Thompson, who you already mentioned, rated as the number 7 prospect in the 2026 class, and now you bring in a big recruit like LJ Smith, this is huge for Ohio State basketball going forward. It's nice to get this guy in the building a year earlier than expected. I love his quote. He says, I simply want to be the best version of myself, and I felt the challenge of going to Ohio State now and playing for Coach Diebler will help me do exactly that. I am just ready to get to work.
Love it, and I'm glad that you mentioned some of the new faces that are coming in from the transfer portal, because those guys with experience, I think, can have guys like a Thompson and like a Smith come in and not have to feel like they have to be Kevin Durant right away.
Exactly.
Those guys with the experience can handle some of this, and if those guys are ready to go right at the gate, fine. But I think once you start getting in the conference play, you want those guys to feel good about themselves. But as far as talent goes, you're going to have two young guys that are coming in with a boatload of that are going to have to figure it out and go through what it takes to play at this level. But my goodness, this is what it's all about right here, is getting this type of attention on this program. But more importantly, the intention is the commitment and the guys that are ready to go right away. And it looks like LJ Smith and Anthony Thompson have a chance to be that. So some pretty big news just breaking in the Buckeye basketball world, with LJ Smith reclassifying as a five-star commit to Ohio State in to the 2026 class and no longer having to wait until 2027. When we get more information on that, we will let you know. But looks like a good job here by Diebler and the gang over there to get another good player in the mix that's going to help them out, in my eyes, and should be able to help them out right away. Let's go up to Cleveland now, DT, because there's going to be so much focus again on what's going to happen with the Browns quarterback room. There's felt to me like there's been a decent amount of momentum behind Deshaun Watson's name right now. That doesn't mean anything. It's June 15th. We got a long way to go. We all understand that. But there's been some positive reports coming out of the building about how Deshaun has looked so far. When it comes to Shador, been a lot quieter this time around than it was last year, which I actually think can be a good thing for him and just making it more about ball, and there's none of the other stuff going on. But his GM, Andrew Berry, has weighed in on Shador and how he's been looking over the last few months.
I think he's had an excellent spring, Anthony. I mean, the past 8 to 10 weeks, and really probably beyond that, really the past 6 months with, you know, as a rookie player and particularly a quarterback, you learn a lot your first year. And especially if you don't start a full season, start what, seven games. And you kind of go through the year. It's adjustment going to the NFL, and then you get a chance to catch your breath and say, okay, well, here are the things that I need to work on. Here are the things I need to learn. And I think he did a phenomenal job this offseason. That really started in January and February. And then certainly as we got into having, you know, real practices in May, his growth has been tremendous. So we're all very excited to see, you know, Shador's, you know, fall camp, preseason, you know, things of that nature. When we get into padded situations, live situations, you know, less scripted, but his growth has truly been phenomenal.
Dylan, no matter what job you're doing, you got to have time on task to have things slow down, and I think for you to be successful, I think it's rare to where you see anybody that enters any industry that right away has everything figured out, right? And for a guy like Shador, we saw it last year. You saw the flashes, but you also saw, oh, this guy's a rookie, and it's going to take time for him to get to this point. So some encouraging stuff there from his GM and Andrew Bear.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation in Cleveland, isn't it? Because, you know, I think Shador did show things at the end of last season. They obviously have Deshaun Watson in this mix. It's a huge year for him and his career and where that's going to go moving forward. Where does Dylan Gabriel factor into all this? It's crazy. They drafted this guy ahead of Shador Sanders, and nobody is talking about Dylan Gabriel and what role he's going to play in this, you know, quote-unquote quarterback competition at all.
The only thing that I've heard about Dylan Gabriel over the last 4 to 5 months has been the number change with Jared
Verse. Right.
That's it. That's honestly it. This seems like a two-man race. Dylan Gabriel, as far as stature goes coming out, it always felt to me like he was going to struggle just a little bit to succeed consistently at this level. I just don't think he factors into this at all. It just doesn't feel that way to me, which is tough because he was a third round pick,
yeah,
I believe. And so we'll never have, I think, full clarity on how and why the Dylan and Shador thing happened last year. I don't think we ever get it. It was odd to me. It never made sense to me. I don't think it ever will. But if you're Shador, I think you're worried more about Deshaun than you are Dylan at this point.
100%. I just wanted to bring that up to hear what you had to say about it, because you're right. It certainly feels that way. But it's insane that we are a year removed from Gabriel being drafted rounds before Shedeur Sanders. And now he's not even a factor in a, you know, potentially three-headed quarterback competition. It's crazy. But, you know, the tools, the size are obviously there for Shedeur Sanders. He fell in the draft because he fell in the draft. You know, there are factors outside of his actual skill, I think, that played into that as well. But Dylan Gabriel, the guy's got to have a huge chip on his shoulder, right? And he has to go out and show that he can be in this battle. But, you know, the way that Todd Monken has talked about it, too, it feels like it's a two-headed race right now.
He's, I think, going to be in a tough spot because I can't imagine he's going to get a bunch of reps with the ones, if any, right, throughout training camp, because they just have to figure out, I think, one, did Deshaun have any runway left for you to feel at all tempted to want to run it back with him if he plays well? And then Shedeur, that has to be a good chunk of your season goes to him, because it can't just be a into the offseason with a question mark of what is Shedeur Sanders. I think you need to know what that is, because last year we saw, hey, the game against the Tennessee Titans, he looked great. In a game like that, the following week against your Bears, he comes out and it's no TDs and three interceptions, which, look, that's rookie ball at this level, I get, but coming out of an offseason, what is he now? I like what they've done addressing the offensive line. So whoever it is at quarterback, I think they're going to have a better chance to succeed, because I think up front, it's going to be cleaner offensive line play, which no matter which quarterback we're talking about in the NFL, if they don't have it, they're probably not going to be the guy they're supposed to be.
I wholeheartedly understand the frustration surrounding the Cleveland Browns. Like, if you're a Browns fan out there and just the agony, the anguish, the years of waiting that you've had to do. But I also really think that they're playing with house money at the moment. Like, everything they've done outside of the quarterback position feels really good. Like, back-to-back drafts, it feels like they've done a good job. But even at the quarterback position now, this year specifically, I think it's house money. What if Deshaun Watson is good? What if Deshaun Watson is serviceable? You might have something going on. And if he's not, like you said, you see what you have in Shedeur Sanders. You see if he takes a step with more reps from last year. And if not, you've got the draft capital and potentially the number one overall pick, depending on how things go this season, to draft that quarterback of the future. With that said, it puts a ton of pressure on that pick and on that player, whoever it may be, to be the guy. Because if that doesn't work out, then man, oh man, it is the most Cleveland Browns thing ever.
Right, because I think their roster is closer to being relevant and being a roster that can compete with some of the better teams in the league than they have been in years, honestly.
100%. Their defense is great. Even though they lose Myles Garrett, their defense is great.
Completely agree. And I like the young core of what's happening on offense. Now, a lot of that is unknown and a lot of that is on paper, but that's doing sports radio in June right now, right? But I think the investment into the offense over the last couple of years, I like it a lot. Zeke, you're the Browns fan on the show right now. How are you feeling about, like, outside of the quarterback stuff? That's obviously an unknown, but I'm seeing a vision here of what this could be in the next couple of years, and the biggest if is the quarterback. But outside of that, I like this young core you guys got cooking up there
with Fannin, Quinshon Judkins, Carson Schwechinger. I mean, that's why Andrew Berry is still here.
Yeah,
when they came in with him and Stefanski, they were seen as a package deal. Obviously, Kevin not able to hold up his end of the bargain, but because of last year's draft, Andrew Berry stays on, and it looks like, for what a lot of people saw this year out of the draft, it looks good again. Like Denzel Boston, Casey Concepcion, you had Spencer Fano early on. Like, it feels like they're building all the pieces the right way. Obviously, you're still missing the quarterback, but it makes me excited this fall to watch almost every other position group other than the quarterback position group. Because for me, as a Browns fan, I think this is set up for quarterback in 2027. I don't see Deshaun or Shedeur keeping them from trying to make that move in the draft next year. For me as well, it feels like Shedeur, if he only gets half the season, that also hurts his case. How is he going to convince Andrew Berry to stick with him if he gets seven games? Like, are you really buying that and not drafting?
Yeah, he's going to have to go crazy.
That's how you convince him,
If Shedeur isn't day one starter week one of this season, it's going to be really hard for him to completely get that job and have them move off of that first round pick next year.
Another thing that I think was encouraging to hear coming out of mini camps was how Quinshon Judkins has looked coming back from this injury. And so we talked about the offensive line. If that's secure, which I think it will be a lot better than it was last year, but Quinshon can come back with that same bite and that same, you know, force that he was running with, then you're talking about an offense that I think has a chance to be really balanced with the addition of the wide receivers they made in the draft. And so, yeah, all eyes are going to be on the quarterbacks over the next couple of months, but I think the pieces around them look pretty darn good. And so without Miles, it's going to be a bit of an uphill climb, but I do think when you look around the NFL, the Browns have a chance to be one of the better younger cores in the entire sport. Coming up in 2 minutes, Keith Smith from Spotrac in the NBA front office show joins us to not only talk about the Knicks. We had some odd James Harden news that popped up over the weekend. Is Giannis going to be finally traded in the next couple of months? We'll talk about it next, right around the corner. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the
Details.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony can follow direction very well as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Dylan Tyer in today for AR. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on Keith Smith. Does an awesome job covering the NBA over at the NBA Front Office Show. Keith, happy Monday. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Are the New York Knicks going to grant Spike Lee a championship ring?
I'm going to guess no, and if they do, it'll probably be let's just say a very toned down version of the one the players are likely to get.
That's fair. That's fair. We were talking earlier off the top, and just for me personally, Keith, I think the story of how all this came together, going back to the Villanova boys and them winning a championship to where they are now, I think it's one of the cooler sports stories we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, this is a great example of a bunch of players who just grind. These guys were almost across the board, with the exception of Karl-Anthony Towns. None of these guys were super highly thought of when they were drafted. Teams liked them, but no one was like, this guy's an all-star level guy, key member of a championship level team, especially Jalen Brunson. If you go back and look when that contract was announced, there were a lot of people, including Knicks fans, who were like, what are we doing? This guy's a small backup guard. Like, what's happening here? And now, you know, it all came together for them quite well. And it's a good sign, too, of, you know, hey, you don't have to just build through the draft. You can build, you know, through trades and free agency, too. The key is get the right kind of talent and make sure it's talent that fits together instead of just collecting guys who are really good.
Keith, you know, with that in mind, do you think what the Knicks did is repeatable? And I ask you that because there's so much star power around the NBA. You look at OKC, you look at what the future could hold for the San Antonio Spurs, the Boston Celtics. Is building the way the Knicks have a viable option for other teams that might not have that superstar power?
Yeah, I think so. I think the key is you got to get some of these guys at the right time in their career, and then they have to be willing to sacrifice a little. Like, if we go back, Jalen Brunson left money on the table. Mikal Bridges left money on the table. Mikal Bridges was playing in a starring role with the Nets, where he had all the shots he wanted and could have done anything, and he comes to the Knicks and he's the third or fourth option most nights. Karl-Anthony Towns was a star with the Timberwolves. He was, you know, 1-1A with Anthony Edwards by the time he was traded, but he comes to the Knicks and, yeah, he's still on a max deal, but it was, hey, we need you to sacrifice some of your shots, some of your touches for this. OG Anunoby got paid, but again, it's, you know, you're going to get paid, but you're not going to be the number one guy here. And then Josh Hart is just, you know, hey, I'll do whatever. If I get 10 shots tonight, I get 10 shots. If I get two, it doesn't matter. I'm going to play hard. I'm going to make plays. And that's what you need to be able to do. Find that talent that can fit, get them all to sacrifice. And yes, that includes probably a couple of them sacrificing financially as well.
Keith Smith from the NBA Front Office Show joining us here on Rothman and Ice. Keith, let's go up to Cleveland because we had some unfortunate news about a Cleveland Cavalier come out over the weekend, and that is James Harden. It looks like he was arrested for a weapons charge. Can you highlight maybe where you think this is going to go, how significant this is or isn't for Harden and the Cavs, and talk about their future and what you expect from them?
Yeah, and I don't want to downplay, you know, what he was arrested for, but it doesn't sound like he was brandishing the gun or waving it around or anything like that. It sounds like he had a gun in his cup holder that police saw. It wasn't secured, and that's a violation where he was, and he was arrested for that and bonded out, and then, you know, they kind of move on, you know, to what's next when he goes back to court, sounds like later this month. So I don't think this is going to have any major impact on the Cavs saying, well, that's it, we're not re-signing him now or anything else, or if the Cavs are deciding to move on, that any other team will be afraid of re-signing James Harden. I think what's more likely to happen here with the Cavs is it's going to be business as usual as they planned, which is James Harden opts out and that big $40-plus million number comes down quite a bit. And what that allows the Cavs to do is free up some other flexibility to make other moves with their roster. And I think for Harden, the trade-off is he'll get a couple guaranteed years on the back end for, you know, ultimately he'll get more than the $40-plus million he would have gotten. It'll just be spread out over 2 or 3 years.
Okay, other moves to help out the Cleveland Cavaliers roster. What do you think those moves look like? Because I know people have floated names like Giannis, LeBron. Is that reaching too far or too high? What do you think happens?
I mean, at this point, it doesn't sound like they're really in on the Giannis Antetokounmpo talks, and that's really coming to a head. Everybody's really expecting sometime here within the next week that's going to be decided. The Bucks set a self-imposed deadline of they want clarity by the NBA draft, and that's a week from tomorrow. So I think we're really in a place where that's just about done, and it doesn't sound like Cleveland has been overly involved. Now, LeBron, who knows, right? The challenge there is, unless LeBron is taking a massive pay cut, and it doesn't need to be a massive pay cut all the way down to the minimum, it just needs to be a big enough pay cut where it is, all right, you know, you shed enough salary, you can give me the $15 million non-taxpayer mid-level exception. Great, that's enough for me. That's still a huge pay cut. That's like a two-thirds pay cut for LeBron. So who knows if that's really in play for him or not. But for the Cavs, the big thing is what they want to be able to do is, whether it's Giannis or LeBron or it's somebody none of us are even talking about, they want to get off enough money or bring down their salaries enough that they can then at least be in the conversation for those players. Because where they were last year as a second apron team, guys came on the market and there was just no way. It wasn't even going to be a thing because they just couldn't afford it. They want to be able to at least make a credible offer without having to say, all right, hey, we're going to make this offer, but can you wait while we line up 12 other moves to make it happen first? No, nobody's going to really want to do that. So they want to be able to put themselves in the room.
Keith, I feel like over the weekend that I kept seeing stories pop up about LeBron possibly linking up with the Golden State Warriors. Is that a realistic possibility at all in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's realistic only because he talked about how he would love to play with Stephen Curry more, and he's only gotten the chances of the once with Team USA and then in All-Star scenarios. So I think that's there. There's been a lot of reporting that the Warriors are like, hey, we're willing to work out something where if you need to go home to Los Angeles for, you know, a few days, no problem. It's, you know, right down the road. We'll get you down there and, you know, we'll figure it out and, you know, we'll work around that. They've obviously got a great reputation for taking care of their veteran players there. So I think if he wants a change from the Lakers, or the Lakers are like, hey, we're just not going to go to X amount of dollars here, and LeBron looks around, he may say, all right, yeah, again, big pay cut coming. They could probably get to that $15 million amount the Warriors can. And if LeBron's willing to play for that, yeah, I would say the Warriors will definitely be in the mix.
Keith, NBA draft coming up here shortly. Darren Peterson only visiting the Washington Wizards. I thought A.J. DeBanza was the prospective number one overall pick. Is Peterson making only this visit something we should be reading into?
Probably not. I tend to think with visits, often we're told what they want us to know. And I think this is, hey, I'm confident I'm the best player. They have the number one pick. Why wouldn't it be me? I think there's probably a component in that from Peterson and his camp. But you can still find plenty of people who have Darren Peterson rated as the best prospect in this draft and think Washington should pick him number one overall. There's also folks who will say they have other wings, and that's what DeBanza is. They should get another guard in the building there and get Peterson. So we'll see. I still think it's going to be A.J. DeBanza at the top, and I know if it's not, the Utah Jazz will be overjoyed to select him second overall. That's, you know, in play. There may even be something that we don't know about where the Jazz are like, hey, we don't want to mess around with this. Let's move up to number one. And then Peterson's like, all right, Wizards at two. This is why I only visited with you because that's where I'm going to go. I think this is as much as they've taken a lot of the control elements away from players. This is one way that players and their agents can still try to control the draft process.
It's going to be a fun next couple of months, Keith, around the world of basketball. That's for sure. We appreciate your time as always. Enjoy everything coming our way, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Keith.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yes, Keith Smith from the NBA front office show joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. And so, yeah, that's going to be wild, the whole Giannis situation, the LeBron situation. What are the Cavs going to do coming off the Knicks winning a championship? It could be a very interesting basketball summer, DT.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect. Like, as far as it goes with Giannis, I feel like you hear his name around everyone. He could be going to Boston. He could be going to the Cavs. He might be going to the Heat.
Right.
And then LeBron, I guess he kind of determines what's going to happen there, right? Does he go back to LA? Does he say, hey, I'm going to chase another title and take a major pay cut?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people don't see that happening, but I say, why not, man? I don't know. It's hard to say.
I'd be blown away if LeBron takes a massive pay cut. I think he would take a little bit off to come back to Cleveland. Other stops, I don't think he would do it there, but for the hometown team, I wouldn't be surprised if he does that. Top of the hour, just a reminder, it's Monday, 1 o'clock. The segment is The Floor Is Yours, 614-821-9710 is Zeke's hotline number. We love hearing from you. Call in, talk about your favorite sports teams, whatever you want to talk about, we want to hear from you. So again, top of the hour, 614-821-9710. We will do The Floor Is Yours. But coming up next, it's Party Like a Rockstar. We're going to highlight some people that have been balling out in the world of sports and beyond. It's Rossman and Ice right here.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's Gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a rock star.
All right, one of my favorite segments of the week has arrived. Dylan Tyers in the house today for AR. It's time to party like a rock star. Quick reminder, top of the hour, the floor is yours. We want to hear from you. 614-821-9710. Best caller will get a $25 gift card to Skyline Chile. DT, lead us off, big dog. How you feeling about party like a rock star this week?
Oh, I'm locked and loaded.
Let's go.
You told me we were getting to do this today, so I've got a good list of characters. And I want to start off with a little look at Rod Brindamore, the man behind the bench for the newly minted Stanley Cup champion Carolina Hurricanes. This guy never ever makes it about himself, but it should be about him. He's the man that changed the culture for the Carolina Hurricanes. This team, I told you earlier, they've been on the edge of a Stanley Cup victory for like 8 seasons now, and last night they finally got it done. And he finally got the opportunity to celebrate. Great celebration by Rod Brindamore in the Carolina Hurricanes dressing room. He peeled off that pearly white dress shirt to reveal that he may be more jacked than any player in the NHL. And he is, what, 55, 60 years old now? He won the first Kane Stanley Cup 20 years ago as their captain. Wow. He was the captain of the team, and now he does it again, lifting Lord Stanley as the head coach. He is the fourth person to captain and coach the same team to a Stanley Cup victory. More than that, he's been part of 98% of the Carolina Hurricanes' all-time playoff victories. That's as a player and a head coach now. Wow. Something else that just came out, a little video about the way the Carolina Hurricanes worked out this season. Rod Brindamore is a fitness freak. He works out as hard or harder than the players as their head coach. Something he threw in this year, a 35-pound cinder block lift. Pick it up off the ground, put it up over your head. The players didn't realize it at the time, but the Stanley Cup weighs how much? 35 pounds. He was training his team to lift the Stanley Cup all season long, and they got it done last night. Shout out Rod Brindamore.
I love it. It's a great call. I love that you mentioned that story at the end. And I was thinking about a couple things coming out of watching the Stanley Cup final last night. Yes, it sucks for Vegas fans, But they're kind of like, eh, you know, we've been kind of spoiled.
They've made the Stanley Cup final three times in 9 years.
100%. So, like, I think that's a little easier to get over, that L, right, when you've had the success that they've had in such a short amount of time. And then, too, with both the Knicks and the Canes, they're probably not thinking about this at all, but my brain works this way. Winning it on the road is cool. But it's not as cool as winging it at the crib. If you're the Knicks or the Canes.
Listen, there have been three Stanley Cup finals in Las Vegas, and it's gotten done in Las Vegas all three times. Vegas once, Washington once, Carolina once.
Okay.
I think winning in Vegas is pretty good.
That's a great point. So the Canes were good. The
yes.
scene after that was good. The Knicks in San Antonio, they'll get it done in New York. They'll party and have a great time for sure in the streets of Gotham City. Speaking of the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, to me, has to be a part of this.
Has to.
He has to be a part of this run. We talked about game five, 45 points, three rebounds, three assists, only missed two free throws in the game, shot 57% from the three-point line. But in the series, this man averaged 33 points a game. He averaged 4.5 assists a game, four rebounds a game, shot 40% from the three-point line. He's 6'2", DT. This isn't your normal 6'6", the 6'8", wing that's the best player on the team that just dominates with his physicality. Brunson is, I'm going to play at my own pace. There's nothing you can do about it. Whether you're 6 foot, whether you're 7'6", like Wimby, I'm going to get my game off and ball out at the highest of levels. And then I don't know if this moment happens if he doesn't take the pay cut that he took a few years ago, where he, if he would have waited just one more season, had the opportunity to make $269 million. He said, you know what? I'm good on that. I want to win right now. Go get my boy Mikal Bridges. I'll sign a $113 million contract. Now, look, everybody listening is like, it's still incredible money. And it is. No doubt it is. But in their world, that's a massive deal that he did that. And so Jalen Brunson, a couple years ago, took less for this opportunity to be a possibility. The possibility became reality for the Knicks over the weekend, and he was in the middle of all of it, having the best offensive game by any New York Knick in the history of the franchise. Jalen Brunson gets it done, and he is never, and I mean never, going to have to pay for a glass of wine, a steak, anything in the city of New York for the rest of his days. Jalen Brunson, partying like a rock star.
He is a certified dog.
Yes.
D-A-W-G.
Dog.
You and I are both baseball guys, so why don't we talk a little bit of baseball and Milwaukee Brewers starting pitcher Jacob Mizorowski. A 15-strikeout, one-hitter over the weekend, and he did it in 95 pitches. On top of that, he threw the fastest pitch by a starting pitcher ever, 105 miles an hour. I think this guy has thrown 300-plus pitches over 101 this season. It is absolutely insane. Mizorowski leads qualified pitchers in ERA with a 1.34 earned run average. He leads Major League Baseball in strikeouts with 131 in, I believe, only 87 innings. He leads Major League Baseball in whip, walks, and hits per innings pitched, 0.74, less than one per frame. And he leads Major League Baseball in opponent batting average. Hitters batting just 140 against the fireballer, Jacob Mizorowski. Likely the favorite right now for the NL Cy Young, but it is really tight. Christopher Sanchez having a hell of a season in Philly. Shohei Ohtani with a 1.06 ERA right now on top of what he does with the bat in his hands. Yeah. Not qualified yet innings-wise for that ERA to be listed, but it's a good race in the National League, and I didn't even bring up Chase Burns from Cincinnati, who's been darn good, too.
All the three men that you mentioned prior to mentioning Chase Burns are just physical aliens. Mm-hmm. Christopher Sanchez, Ohtani, Mizorowski, all these guys, I believe, are like 6'5+, and to your point, throw a billion miles an hour. So, yeah. In a small market, but his game is very, very big, and this dude is electric, so I'm glad you highlighted him as well. I'll end this quickly with a baseball team as well, because I always enjoy in sports, Dylan, players or teams that turn it around quickly when they were horrible a couple years ago. That team was the Chicago White Sox.
My White Sox. Absolute let's go.
Laughing stock of Major League Baseball just a couple seasons ago. They take on the Dodgers this weekend. rip off 2 of 3 from them. The Chicago White Sox, folks, have the third best record in the American League.
That comes after they took 2 out of 2 from the Braves as
Incredible.
Well.
Incredible. The White Sox, 4-1 last week against the Braves and the Dodgers. Absolutely nuts. They trade away Garrett Crochet, get all the young guys back. They are just on and popping right now. The AL Central is very, very interesting, especially now when you talk about the White Sox success this weekend and last week that is connected to the unfortunate injury news coming out of Cleveland over the weekend with Jose Ramirez. We'll see what's up with Chase DeLotter. But yeah, it's wild to watch the White Sox lose, what, over 100 plus games, I believe, just 2 or 3 years ago. And here they are right now, tied for first place in the AL Central, taking a series away from the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's Party Like a Rockstar for today. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's your segment. Take over. Get in line. The floor is yours. 614-821-9710. Winner, best caller, according to Zeke, is going to get a $25 gift card to Skyline Chili. Looking forward to hearing from you guys after the break. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State men's basketball's roster just got deeper in 2026. Five-star guard L.J. Smith has reclassified from the 2027 class and will join the Buckeyes this season. A product from Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, Smith was ranked 25th in the 27 class. Women's hoops, Ohio State has added Cincinnati native Todd Schaefer as an assistant coach. Schaefer spent last season at Missouri after 8 at Arkansas. College football, the Big 12 has filed a lawsuit against Texas Tech to sanction it for playing quarterback Brendan Sorsby this season. Last week, he was granted a temporary injunction to play after admitting to placing thousands of sports bets. World Cup in progress, Spain and Cape Verde are scoreless at halftime. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or at rcdrv.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Time for your calls on Rothman and Ice. The floor is yours. Call the show right now. 614-821-9710. Whether you have a gripe.
I've never seen such incompetence.
Or some praise.
You're the best voice in sports radio, man, and I really mean that.
The floor is yours.
Come on!
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
It's that time, folks. It is that time. The floor is yours. 614-821-9710 is our phone number here at The Fan. Get on in. Doesn't have to be anything serious. It can be serious. We'll talk you through it, but we like to have some fun around here. So get on in. Winner will get a $25 gift card to Skyline Chili. We're going to get to the calls here in just a moment. I did see this floating around about just the whole championship vibe that's out there in the world of sports. But when it comes to Jalen Brunson, since we were talking about him in Party Like a Ross Star, what he kind of deserves at this point, what is that, Dylan? Is it a statue? Is it a number retiring already? Like what do we do for Jalen Brunson in New York? How do you honor this?
Well, nothing yet. It all comes when he retires. Like, I think probably a statue, definitely jersey retired. I was listening to the Pardon My Take podcast earlier today, and I thought PFT commenter had just a terrific idea. Get a massive, like 200-foot Jalen Brunson jersey and put it on the Statue of Liberty and replace the fire with a basketball. I think that's a perfect way to do it.
I am not mad at that idea. I think that would be a hilarious visual to see that.
They like to light up the Empire State Building there, too. Maybe just like the Jalen Brunson jersey on the Empire State Building lit up for, I don't know, a month.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, too. If you could win a championship for any starved franchise or fan base, which one would you pick?
Oh man, because that is an excellent question. I'm biased.
But. He's now an icon in New York City for the Knicks. Like I don't know if it gets much better than that. Like the love that a starting quarterback for the Browns will feel if he wins a Super Bowl. Maybe it's going to be close. It's going to be close. But I just think for Jalen Brunson now, like you separated yourself from historic names that have already played for that franchise too.
Yeah, like for me, I think if Caleb Williams were to win a Super Bowl for the Chicago Bears, that's like
Caleb and Jordan.
It's the equivalent of what Brunson just did. I think it would be insane.
Unbelievable. Zeke, let's go to the phone lines. Who are we putting on the air first for this week's The Floor is Yours?
We've got Danny ready to roll here.
Danny, welcome in. How you feeling today, my man?
I'm proud to be an American where at least there's UFC. And I won't forget the men who fought last night for 250. And I'll gladly stand up. Boys, let's stand up for this great country this morning, celebrating 250 years this year. I mean, what a weekend for the U.S. of A and pretty much all sports in general. The U.S. men's soccer team, they did get me temporarily kicked out of my house because my wife, she didn't appreciate the goal, 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 goal every 10 minutes. But my God, was that an unbelievable performance by the men's soccer team. We do have a new NBA and NHL champ. The Knicks can honestly suck a big bag of you-know-what. I've never liked them. I never will. I am not happy for their success. We had an American win the Canadian Open in golf. And then Dana White and Donnie Trump doing the impossible and unthinkable, holding a UFC event on the lawn of the White House. I mean, what's more American than that? When united we stand, divided we fall, I felt for the first time in a while we came together as a country this weekend. And in honor of that great country and the World Cup, I'd like you guys to name a couple American athletes specifically that you think would be the best soccer player.
Ooh, great question. Good call. American athletes that we would think could turn into good soccer players.
Jalen Brunson right off the top. Okay. I think he'd be a great little Messi-style player.
The first guy that popped into my brain, and he's injured right now, but I think when healthy could be a menace out there, was Tyreek Hill. Ooh. I think Tyreek Hill with his speed, quick twitch ability out there, if he could handle a soccer ball, which I have no idea whether he can or not, but I think just off athletics alone, I think he would be an issue out there on the soccer field. What do you think about Tyreek?
I love that line of thinking. And similarly, like, well, of course, Chad Ochocinco loved playing soccer, so you would put him in there. But a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, I feel like he'd be nice patrolling the midfield, too.
Yeah, CMC at his peak, I think. So running backs, I think, could probably, like, the taller guys may not be.
I'm trying to think of, like, a tall, stout, athletic guy that would be a great goalkeeper.
Mm.
That's what I'm trying to think about right now. Like, Shaq in net for Team USA.
We can't have Boston Shaq, though. We need peak Orlando Shaq when Shaq was at his best physical form.
Shaq to the Lakers Shaq, exactly. Maybe, right around that time.
Yeah, we can get a big in there that has some decent athleticism.
Oh, here's a deep cut. This guy would be proud to be an American, too. Tyler Hansbrough in 100%. Goal for Team USA.
What is Tyler Hansbrough even up to these days? That dude was a madman at North Carolina. He was a dog out there, but he was an absolute. That's not a bad call. Not a bad call at all. Zeke, we got another call or two lined up. Who you got?
We got Tony here up next.
Here he is. Tony, welcome in. The floor is yours. What do you got this week?
Hey, fellas, real quick. I'll just keep it short and sweet. Hey, the only good thing that came out of the NBA championship is the fact that Chris Gent finally got a ring. You know, Gent's been sort of a journeyman in the NBA, and he's continued to jump from team to team, but he got his ring. Now we got to listen to Nick Fan probably for the next 10, 15 years talk about this championship. But other than that, fellas, thank you for the call. Good opportunity. Hey, have a good one. And again, God bless America.
Appreciate you, Tony. Thanks so much for that. I think that's a good point to highlight Chris Gent, right? Because you hear players and other coaches talk about him and how well-rounded of a basketball mind he is and just how much of a good dude he is. That's awesome to see. But it's interesting, DT, because I do think how Tony feels and how Danny feels when it comes to the Knicks and not really wanting to, obviously not celebrate with them, but give them any flowers in this moment, I think is interesting because we mentioned earlier how I feel it doesn't feel to me like this is a big market bought championship. Like I can invest in respect how they got to that point. And I know for a lot of people, when it comes to big market teams winning championships, it usually feels like they're cutting the line to get there because they can just throw out big bags and get it done.
Yeah, it is a fascinating dynamic because in some regard, it feels like they're the underdog because they, you know, the other team had Victor Wembanyama, and he's the hottest name in the NBA. And the Knicks pieced it all together, and they won these games in dramatic comeback fashion. I completely understand the New York City hate, though.
Oh, and then when it's connected to the wave of celebrity after celebrity.
That's a great point
all
as well.
That too, I can understand how that becomes annoying for fans to watch. Zeke, you got one more?
Yeah, we have Vaughn here, ready to
there
roll.
There he is. Vaughn, welcome, man. Vaughn, welcome back to the party, my man. How are we feeling today? The floor is yours.
We're feeling good. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Thank you.
I'll just do a quick chime in on the Knicks thing as well. Like, to your point, like, this probably couldn't happen to a better group of players. You got Brunson, who was in Dallas with Luka. You know, he was the 1B. He gets his own team. You get Kat, former first-round pick, traded away from Minnesota. You get OG, who's the only guy who actually won a championship as a starter in the whole finals, but nobody really drummed that up. So you see him consistently being the second leading scorer on the team, consistently making plays. Bridges, yes, has he been a letdown for all the picks that they gave up for him? Yes, but they were looking for chemistry. You got Josh Hart, who's been bounced around the league, and you got Mikal Bridges, who was in Phoenix, you know, Alcatraz, which Devin Booker's the only one left there at this point. You know, so it honestly couldn't happen to a better group of players. But like you said, when you have the fans of Stephen A. Smith or whoever, whatever horrible Knicks player has played for them in the last 50 years claiming this championship, like they did anything that the five or six, seven guys on the court actually did. That's why it's kind of hard to root for the Knicks. My girlfriend and her dad are Knicks fans. It was hard not to root for the Spurs because I had to listen to Stephen A. Smith every freaking morning on First Take yell about nothing. Dude's not even athletic. You know, but shout out to the Knicks, though. My bad. I could have went on a whole rant about how I don't like Stephen A. Smith. We're not going to do that, man. Y'all have a great one.
Appreciate you, Vaughn. That's a great call. And look, I understand all of that. I really, really do. I just, man, I this is why I think even for me, Dylan, as a Ravens fan, would feel actually kind of good for Browns fans if they won a championship. Because I want them to feel what Nick fans are feeling right now when you've had to wait so long. Like, there are certain franchises and cities that are spoiled, right? Like Boston and just other, when the Patriots were on, obviously Boston and the Patriots, when they're on their run, like, you become numb to this. But then the flip side of this is what we're seeing with the Knicks. And so in time, I'm hoping that Browns fans do get to enjoy what Knick fans are enjoying at the moment, because there's a lot of people that you don't even get close to a championship game, let alone winning at all.
See, I think the Browns might be the only franchise in football I would feel that way for as well, because they've been so tortured for so long.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it because later in the program, you want to talk about our favorite championship teams. And I was kind of going down the list of Super Bowl champions, and I'm a very big Bears fan, for the listeners not aware of that. I don't feel happy for anybody who wins the Super Bowl. Nobody. Nobody. There's not an NFL team on my favorites there. I don't feel happy for anybody. I want everybody to suffer. But if the Browns were to win the Super Bowl,
it'd be a little different. And
I would like that.
Maybe it's for me personally having friends that are Browns fans,
same.
Being with them on Sundays and just watching them go through the pain and the agony that they've had to go through for decades now. But I like that you brought that up, because I share that same thinking when it comes to, like, certain fan bases in college being happy that another team from their conference won it all. Like, they get to share in the success.
That's lame, yeah.
My brain doesn't register that. Like, I can't go down that pathway. And so, yeah, I completely understand what you're saying and what our caller said as well. Zeke, who you picking as our winner this week? Unless you got one more? Okay, you have someone on hold. Tell them to wait on hold if they can. We'll get to them after the break. And we'll also combine that with Joel Klatt saying, or weighing in, excuse me, on how many wins he thinks Ohio State could rack up in 2026. Right around the corner, we're Rothman and Ice right here on the...
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
What kind of steak?
I got a New York strip, 14 ounce.
Can you put away 14 ounces of steak in one sitting?
What are you... Who are you talking to?
Yes, I did.
Mornings on the Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine to kick off the work week, and much cooler with highs only getting in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with lows down into the 50s. Tuesday will be a mostly sunny day and warmer with a little bit more wind and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
We're your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now you can watch Rothman and Ice.
Go to YouTube and search 97.1 The Fan.
Rothman is wearing the pancake makeup, so you might as well watch. Back to Rothman and Ice.
AR's out today. Dylan Tyer in the building today. The floor is yours. Was in our previous segment. We're going to extend that now because we've got a few other callers that want to weigh in. Again, 614-821-9710 is our hotline number. Winner of The Floor is Yours will get a $25 gift card to Skyline Chili. Zeke was telling me during the break, sounds like we've got a couple other callers that want to weigh in. Zeke, where are we starting now in our second segment of the party? Let me try that again. Excuse me. The Floor is Yours, round two. Where are we starting here?
Let's start with Hunter, who's waited patiently.
Hunter, get on in here. How we doing? The floor is yours.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good, good. Thank you. What do you got on your mind?
Man, a lot on my mind right now, man. The slate of sports lately has been absolutely incredible. You know, we've been blessed with some great sports lately. But the best thing so far for me lately is the United States soccer team, man. I'm a big soccer guy. So I was actually out at Bridge Park on Friday at that big event there, so I got to enjoy that. But I will say, you know, I've never seen these guys look like that before. I don't know what got into them, but if you're not much of a fan, this is the year to be a fan. I can tell you guys that right now. If something's gonna happen, I think it'll be this World Cup because I've never seen these boys play with the fire like they had on Friday. And then actually I'm headed out to the U.S. Open this weekend.
Oh, so heck yeah.
Good for you.
I just got word of that this morning, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But no, just been blessed with a great slate of sports lately. You know, I'm not too happy about the Knicks winning the championship, but entertaining series nonetheless. Hockey's been great. I'm ready for the NFL season, though. Hootay, baby.
Hunter, real quick, let me ask you this, because you're now the third caller that's kind of leaned into not being happy about the Knicks winning the chip. Give me your why. Why aren't you happy that they won the chip or excited that they won the championship?
Well, you know, without getting too into it, you know, the fans are just crazy. You know, I love to see it. Good for them. But sometimes I think they do need to tone it down just a little bit. But honestly, I was just after the Spurs took down OKC, man, I can't lie, not a fan of OKC. So they kind of won me over in the Western Conference Finals there. And I honestly just wanted to see Wemby go all the way. But I think it'll light a fire under him, and I think he'll come back next season. And we got a lot to see out of him.
Okay, so. There it is. All right, there it is. Great call. Hang on the line, Hunter. We appreciate your time. So it's not even the teams that we're kind of getting at. It's what's around the team, the ancillary pieces that are annoying a lot of the listeners and the people that are consuming the Knicks stuff right now.
It sounds like Hunter has that Chalamet fatigue, which I think is probably the reason TLC's taking the day off today. He has Chalamet fatigue, too. He didn't want to come in and talk about that.
He was in the locker room celebrating with the Knicks. That was pretty wild that he was in the locker room. All right, get to the next caller, Zeke. Who we got, my man?
We got Randy ready to roll.
Randy, welcome into the party. How are you?
Hey, good, Matty Ice. Good talking to you, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, I got a couple things. I'll piggyback on the Knicks. Hey, I'm a Cavs fan, but give the Knicks their credit, man. They did the job. They got it done. Give them their juice.
Okay. I like that. So all the other, the noise around them, the Chalamets, the Stephen A., Ben Stiller, all that stuff, that doesn't annoy you?
No, man, because I'm a Cleveland fan, and if it was the Cavs or if it was the Browns or whatever, we would have our celebrities up there, too, and they would be on TV. So let's not go there.
Okay, fair.
The other thing I wanted to say is big Cowboys fan, big Browns fan, what do you guys think? What's coming up?
We talked a little bit earlier about the Browns, Randy. We like the pieces around the quarterback. We feel like the Browns are taking a couple steps in the right direction. With the Cowboys, I think it's going to come down to, is there going to be any resistance on defense this year? Because it mirrored a lot of, I believe, what Cincinnati was as a team last year, right? Where you have this electric offense that can go toe-to-toe with anybody when it comes to putting yards up and putting points on the board. But, Dylan, they just couldn't really slow down anyone. So I know that they've made efforts on defense, that being the Cowboys, to get that to a higher level with drafting Caleb Downs in the first round this year. But that's what it's about for me when it comes to Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas has made actually some pretty good acquisitions, I think, defensively. You talked about Downs, Jayshon Barham from Michigan, Malachi Lawrence, Kobe Durant. Other names out there too. I mean, they're trying to do things. Yeah. We'll see. That offense is obviously all world. You got to keep Dak upright and healthy. Did a great job running the ball last year, I think, kind of out of nowhere. But it all comes down to what they do on defense. Yeah. And so you got to like what they've done, but they're not playing the games yet,
they're
right?
Not playing
like,
the games
like you
yet.
Said earlier, we're talking here in June about what it looks like on paper. We'll see when they play the games.
I'm also very curious to see what the Washington Commanders have to say this year. That was a team that played in the NFC Championship game just a couple seasons ago. Zeke's telling me we got one more. Zeke, who's next?
We've got Jason.
Jason, welcome into the party. How are you? The floor is yours.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to call in and say I'm not here for all the Knicks slander and hate. I know a lot of people around here are Cavs fans. And I understand the Eastern Conference thing. I'm not a Knicks fan either, but what transpired over the last week in that basketball series was amazing. It was awesome. It's good for basketball. It's good for the NBA. And I'm cool to let the Knicks have one every 50 years.
Okay. There you go. That's right, because it was 53 years, man. Good call there. And I think Randy brought up an interesting nugget, too. Like, you know, you did have up in Cleveland throughout the playoffs, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, and those celebrities popped up. Like, Taylor Swift is just going along for the ride with her guy, Travis Kelce.
She's a Knicks celebrity, too.
She is a Knicks celebrity, too. Did you see, like, what some of the seats are going for, like, that the celebrities sat in from, like, the Game 3 and Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals?
I don't even want to
The prices
know.
Are absolutely ridiculous. I'll run that by you here in a second, but Zeke's telling me we got one more.
You guys are crushing it today.
You guys are the absolute best. Get on in there. Who's next, Zeke?
Let's get Kevin in here.
Kevin, welcome into the show. How are you?
How are you?
Good, Kevin. What do you got? The floor is yours.
Hey, look, I just want to chime in on this Knicks conversation, too. You know, I'm not a huge Knicks fan, but great series. Glad to see them win. But I wanted to point out one thing. At the end of the game, you could see all the celebration. You could see Bronson get up and go give this all his players and coaches and everything a hug. There was one person in particular that he gave a big hug to, and his name was Peter Patton. Now, Peter Patton, 5 years ago, used to live here in Columbus and coach AAU basketball, moved to Chicago, was a trainer and a shooting coach for Chicago, but then moved over to New York, and he's the shooting coach for the Knicks. Used to be right here in Columbus teaching AAU basketball 5 years ago. Taught my son.
That's really, really cool. That's awesome, Kevin. That's great. Like that's I think some of the stuff that kind of gets swept under the rug and gets lost in all the things that are going on when a team like the Knicks wins a championship, because we're all talking about the celebrities and all that stuff, but a local guy, right, that knows what Columbus is about is now being a part of some history out there in New York, which is pretty cool. So that's a great call by Kevin. Zeke, great job getting him on the air. Who is the winner today? We had Danny, Tony, Vaughn, Hunter, Randy, Jason, Kevin, a great list of callers this week. Who are you picking as the winner?
My winner today is going to be Hunter, because I'm pumped up about Team USA. Okay. And I can't wait for this Friday. So I'm not a soccer guy, but I've caught the fever a little bit. I'm ready for some Team USA World Cup.
I am with you on that. I usually catch the fever when it comes to Team USA in the World Cup. I remember, I think 2 World Cups ago, my friends and I were out at just this random bar and just everybody coming together for one thing. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who that gal is. We don't know each other's name. It doesn't matter. We're all there for the same thing. It was awesome. And so, yeah, I'll get going with this as well. It was great to see the performance that they put out there. I think it was, 4-1?
Yep.
I think in their first match, it was awesome stuff. So, yeah, this will get everybody going. You don't even, I think, have to be the biggest soccer fan to feel the juice and the energy that's around the World Cup.
Isaiah and I were working on Fan Sports Sunday yesterday, and this came up, and I said, you were an absolute loser if you were poo-pooing the World Cup. Just ride the wave, baby. Yeah. And that's what Hunter was kind of saying. So I second picking Hunter as our winner.
I like that. He said, just have some fun, ride the wave, get in, feel like an American, be proud. A little bit of unity among everybody, common goal, common team, common excitement. Yeah. I'm not a soccer guy either, but I'm excited about the World Cup, and I want to see the Americans make a run, get in.
Let's support our country. I love when we see, like, at the Olympics this last cycle where some of, like, the basketball players like Anthony Edwards and those guys were, like, showing up to ping pong events.
Right.
Just supporting table the tennis. U.S. Come of on. Way. I'm sorry, table tennis. I don't want those folks coming at me. Table tennis. Let me get it right. You guys are the best. That was tremendous. We'll do the floor is yours again next week. He's looking through the glass. He's so ready to get in here. He cannot wait. He's Adam King from 10 TV. He will join the show next, just here in 2 minutes. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the
call. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Miss a minute of Rothman and Ice? Check out the podcast.
Type in Rothman and Ice wherever you get your podcasts. Download and subscribe.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Dylan Tyer in the house today for AR. And the man himself, the man that sits on the Iron Throne.
Somebody yelled that at me at the memorial.
Over at 10 TV is Adam Key. Did they really?
They did.
Oh, okay. They
said, the man that sits on the Iron Throne.
That's you.
Let's go.
I try to get AR.
Little Matty Ice love right there.
You know, I'm a big Game of Thrones guy, even bigger Adam King fan.
Hey,
so, you know, I try to show you some love. How are you, sir? How you been?
I'm doing great. Other than the fact that you gave me headphones that I think are made for about a 4-year-old.
Well, you are technically still four.
But I have a giant head, so we're in trouble here.
Say hello to Dylan.
Dylan, it's great to see you. Glad to hear you're replacing Rothman. Congratulations on the gig.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Do not start that, because you know AK.
I'll get a text.
We'll come off the top rope and body you for starting that.
Yeah.
Well, where would you like to start? Is Adam King a big World Cup guy? Is Adam King annoyed by the Knicks fan base? We've gotten a few calls on that today.
Annoyed?
Yeah, that some people
hate the city of New York, Adam.
They're not on board with the Knicks fan base. The Stephen A. Smith, the Chalamet, and all of that.
Well, let's start with the World Cup because you positioned that first. Friday night, I would like to pin a letter to the city of Columbus, and it's just two words.
Can you write in cursive, first of all?
I can. Everybody can write in cursive. The question is, can you write well?
There you go.
I would just like to say thank you.
Kids today can't write in cursive.
No, I know. Well, they don't teach that anymore, right? AI can write in cursive for kids today. I'm sure they can. Did you see the watch party at Bridge Park on Friday?
I have not seen it, but we had a caller, Hunter, who called in that told us about it, and he was there.
I showed up to this thing, and I'm thinking, okay, going to be 200 people, 300 people, going to be a cool event. There was no less than 3,000 people.
Wow.
Watching all these different TVs. I mean, I walked into Fideau in Bridge Park for like a second to try to use their Wi-Fi. I couldn't breathe. I was like, I got to get out of here. This is a restaurant. What are you people doing? It was insane. Cap City, it was overflowed off the streets.
Really?
When the goals were scored, you would have thought, you know when they cut away at the NBA Finals to those watch parties?
Yeah.
Or like when they cut away to the Carolina Hurricanes last night, you would have thought that like Team USA was centralized in Columbus and that these people just didn't make it to the game.
Uh-huh.
It was unbelievable. Absolutely insane.
So you were there. I thought maybe you had just stolen those clips on Twitter from other people and farmed them yourself.
I would never do that. I am a hard worker. I was. I went up on a balcony and I said, I got to see the excitement here. I mean, did it not look insane, Dylan?
It looks insane. And I did want to ask you about your Twitter habits, because it's very impressive what you do. You are a farmer. You know what you're doing on Twitter, don't you?
I
205,000 views on your two videos posted of Bridge Park. And that's light work for you. What's the mindset that goes into an Adam King tweet? Because you are very impressive.
You're so cool, Adam King.
I want Dylan here every week. This is the greatest interview I've ever done. Dylan, let me tell you something. Austin Ward will be the first to tell you, I am addicted to the Twitter. And it's a problem.
I can tell.
It's a problem. But you have to be precise with it. I'm a guy. I'm not gonna mass tweet things. I'm not gonna tweet 9 tweets in a day.
Uh-huh.
But it's a centralized target. Like if I gotta bundle it. You know what? Spoiler alert. I went into Fideau to use the Wi-Fi to send that tweet because I knew I had to get it out. So
you're chasing the hug.
Listen,
with the viral tweets, which I don't have a problem with, but that's what you're doing now.
We were out at the memorial. I put out a tweet of Justin Thomas. and Roy McIlroy.
Yeah.
It got like a million views. Mm. And it was a problem because I had a job to do. And I'm just sitting there like, all right, here we go. It's all right. Okay, here we go. And I'm like, that's a problem, Adam. I need to talk to somebody.
You're just a legend in the making.
That's not it. Not true.
Local star, Gahanna's own. Go ahead.
But then the problem is every time I talk to somebody about Twitter, they're like, nobody uses Twitter. I'm like, yes, they do. Sports people do.
What do they mean nobody's using Twitter?
Yeah, they do. Look at how many views my tweets get. They're like,
the real world is on Instagram and the TikTok.
Okay, I thought you were going to say that now everybody's going over to Threads, which I'm not going to join that party if it ever happens. I'm not going to join that party if it ever happens. There was a caller, Adam King, that presented a question to us that we will now present to you.
Okay, I didn't listen this morning, so this is good. I like this.
So when AR is out, you don't listen. Good to know.
Spot on. I'm glad you understand.
An American athlete.
Okay.
That you think would be a good goaltender for Team USA.
Ooh.
Who would Adam King put in net right now?
Well, that's so true. An American athlete.
In net as our goalie.
Oh, that's a good question. You got to be somebody really agile. Okay. I think my first instinct is to go like basketball. I think a lot of people's first instinct is
that's
like,
where we went first. That's where we were at.
I think like if you had Giannis, I think having a dude that's
he's not American,
sir,
he'd be on Greece.
American athlete. This is where it can get a
because my second was Wemby.
Exactly. Right. So you got to go American born and bred.
That you're
putting in net.
You need a guy with a long wingspan. I don't know. Carl Anthony Towns, he just comes. Okay.
Slow.
Yeah.
I brought up a name to Dylan during the break, and he was just out as soon as I said it.
All right, let's hear it.
Chet Holmgren.
No.
Okay.
What, do you want to lose?
Listen, I'm trying to cover as much distance as I can, and he was just one option that I brought up. Dylan let us know that someone in the chat mentioned who?
Calvin Johnson, which I thought was a great one. I'd put Calvin Johnson on a wing, though, to utilize the speed and the height, get him in on headers.
Yeah, I think we're thinking, like, if you're thinking of the ability, Calvin Johnson is good.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of size first, which is typically what you're going to go with to think you have an advantage, you're probably thinking NBA centers out there.
Okay.
I think there's also where, like, if you're going to do Calvin Johnson, there's got to be, like, a couple NFL wide receivers or cornerbacks. I mean, cornerbacks instinctually, but they're shorter. That's the problem.
I proposed Myles Garrett with the size and the quick twitch ability.
Ooh, that's not bad.
It's a really good call.
And he could tackle the guys. Like, he could just run out as they're getting ready to kick.
Or Aaron Donald in net, just pure intimidation factor. Scowl at the other team.
He's going to come back, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
What about a hockey goalie?
Well, real quick, but I was... Okay.
I don't think so. I think the skills are different and probably not transferable.
I want to bring this name to the conversation here. What about Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, I think that's
a good
name.
We know the hands are on lock. Mm-hmm. The athleticism is there. I think he's about 6'2", 6'3", but I'll go Justin Jefferson. I think he could hold it down as a good goaltender as well.
How tall is Jamar Chase?
I'll look that up for you right now.
He's got to be about 6'1".
Yeah, in that range.
I mean, I don't think Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think he's about 6 foot.
I think you need somebody that has unorthodox length and explosion. Like, you need a large wingspan and somebody that can explode side to side.
Well, I understand when you said American, but I really want to see Wemby play goal. Like, I feel like that's...
Nobody should score on him, right?
I mean, he just stands there and goes like this. The man's got the longest wingspan I've ever seen in my life.
Crazy. Justin Jefferson is 26 years old. He is 6'2". That's what I'm looking at here. And then I've got Jamar Chase at 6 foot. According to Wikipedia.
What about a guy like Donovan Mitchell? Doesn't he have a 6'10" wingspan?
He does.
In the body of a much more compact, explosive athlete.
And apparently he's got massive hands for his height, too, to palm the basketball, do all the crazy stuff he does there. So that's not a bad option.
We've got Cooper Flagg repeatedly being said in the chat, too. Okay. I don't know about that.
Do you have a soccer background that we don't know about or something?
Maybe so.
I'm kind of seeing the vision. He's an absolute dude. Adam King, Dom Tiberi. This is a guy now that's a legend, like yourself. But this is a man now that's, you know, walking away from the game just a little bit. He's going to be in the mix.
Yes.
He's going to be in the mix, but it's a pretty big deal for you guys on the TV. So I haven't talked to you about this since the news came out. How are you feeling about it?
Well, I'm a little sad. I mean, Dom brings an energy every day that's a lot of fun to work alongside. The good news is he's going to be around. Yeah. He's called me every day that he's been retired. He went out and hunted Bigfoot. I think He's spending more time with the grandkids. I went to his safe driving days that he does from his message on Saturday, and all the family was there and all those grandkids. And I thought, boy, yeah, this is a lot. I mean, you got two young guys that are running around there. It helps to have Papa Dom overseeing and helping out a little bit.
He'll still be grinding, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
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 Grandpa Dom still got a lot of work to do, and he'll still be back around.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, is Adam King a believer in Bigfoot?
No.
You mentioned, okay.
No. I'm not a believer in any of that.
Any of that stuff? No. Are you a believer that there's odd things at Area 51? Or do you think that's all myth?
I think that the odd things at Area 51 are different than what people talk about. Like, I think the odd thing at Area 51 are like things that like weapons of war that we like can't even comprehend.
Like technology.
Like, that the Avengers couldn't even dream of.
So you're saying like E.T. and Bigfoot and they're not there.
Now, if they're listening right now, like, don't come after me.
I'm trying to kick it with them.
Yeah. Like, don't.
I want to go there.
I didn't do anything. I'm not disparaging you. If you do exist, good for you. We can be a team. Don't come after me. Matty Ice seems like a nice guy. We're still figuring out Dylan, so maybe go for him first. I don't know.
Dylan, are you in on any of those conspiracy theories, aliens, Bigfoot, Area 51, any of that stuff interest you? Do you believe at all?
Oh, Area 51 for sure. Okay. I think that's extremely fascinating. Not a big conspiracy theory guy by any means, but...
Are you with Adam that you believe Area 51 consists more of technology, weapons, that type of stuff that we don't know about, we can't handle as normal humans? Or are you on the side of some extraterrestrial? What's the word?
Extraterrestrial.
It's not extracurricular. That's what you do in school.
I never did any of that. That's why I don't know how to say the word. But are you investing in that at all?
Yeah, I'll definitely invest in that. Okay. I think we're looking at extraterrestrial activity in that area. I don't think it's technology and weapons. You can put technology and weapons anywhere. Okay. That's deep underground in other places.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Are you in on the bunker in Colorado that's built to be just a second home for everyone?
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's right. All right, watch Paradise. That's the end of this. Rockman and Ice on the Fan.
Adam, it was great to see you.
Good to see you.
As always, coming up next, Joel Klatt. He's weighed in on how many wins he believes Ohio State can rack up in 2026. You'll hear that next. It's Rockman and Ice right here.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
Welcome back in. Happy Monday to you. Dylan Tyer in the building today, rocking out with us. Always appreciate your time. You miss anything from our show, folks, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. We're still waiting for football season to come back. We got a little minute to get there, obviously. But the chatter around Ohio State and what they could be this season never stops. And so it's just always going to be fun to just lock in on this schedule and some of the new faces that we have coming in and some of the familiar faces that we can't wait to see and level up in year two or three or whatever they may be in the process. Joel Klatt, one of the biggest names in the sport, was speaking about Ohio State's 2026 outlook and kind of zoned in and focused in on their win total when you look at their schedule and what that could look like for them in the upcoming season.
Their win totals, I think, are largely dependent on this game, right? Like, whoever wins this game is going to have a great chance to hit the over 9.5. Very difficult for Ohio State after that Texas game. Now, they could, in theory, lose to Texas and still get to 10 wins. All right, I think that that's open for them, because then you would only have to have one more loss in the remaining 5 difficult games that I've pointed out right here. History would suggest that the infrastructure is there for this program. Ryan Day is there. They have enough, even in a loss, where I could say, you know what? They're probably going to get to 10. So for me, Ohio State's going to be an over.
To me, Dylan, it's night and day when you look at on paper the resistance I think that they're going to feel from last year's schedule going into this year's schedule. Resistance doesn't mean losses. It just means I feel like we're going to be talking more about finding out who has what in the fourth quarter in some of these games. And I cannot wait to see what it looks like, because outside of the Texas game a year ago, they were fairly comfortable throughout the regular season, right? Which, look, that's fine. But I do think that when you go through a tougher schedule in the regular season, when you get to, let's say, last year, you combine the schedule that wasn't last year with what they face at the end of the year, maybe there was a little shock to the system, right? When you go to Indiana and Miami and some of those teams, they're not going to have that problem this year when you look at that schedule. And I think they're going to be better for it when we get to November and beyond.
Yeah, you're talking about more high stress and more being tested this season. And I would agree with that. If you think back to last season, that real first road test for a freshman quarterback in Julian Sain was at Washington, right?
Yeah.
Which can be a hostile environment, but also it's the Washington Huskies and it's the Ohio State Buckeyes. There's a difference there. This season, you're going to start off against Ball State. That's obviously a cakewalk, but right away you're going to Texas. That's a very great test on the road. After that, you go to Iowa, which I would argue has the potential to be a more hostile environment than Washington, especially if that ends up being a night game. We all know about night games in Iowa City. It can be horrible. On top of that, Ohio State has to go to Indiana. They have to go to USC, and then they play Oregon at home three consecutive weeks with a bye mixed in there. It ain't going to be easy for the Buckeyes, but I have very, very high hopes for Julian Sain this season. Not to mention, they're going to have to go to Nebraska right before Michigan, which that could be a little bit trappy as well. But, you know, I think Julian Sain's going to have a huge season for Ohio State. Another year in this system, another year of experience playing in these environments, in these big games. Let's face it, Julian Sain played in his two biggest games of the season in the final two games of the year, and he faltered in those games. It's a learning experience. I fully expect him to come out ready to go and really be the guy for Ohio State this season. After last year, he didn't have to be that for the Buckeyes necessarily. They had the guardrails on at least early in the season. I don't think you're going to see any guardrails at all. In fact, I think he's going to go from a guy that was maybe more so managing games for the Ohio State Buckeyes last year, and he's going to become a guy that wins games, dictates games for the Buckeyes this season.
I think he can become even more of a difference maker, which is wild to say because he was a Heisman finalist last year. But I think to your point, he's going to be more well-rounded of a quarterback this year. And so that, I think, obviously will benefit what this offense will be if up front what we watched at the end of the season is corrected. And we saw that the offensive line, they had their struggles late in the year, and that obviously had a domino effect in a bad way on the quarterback. And so they're coming back with guys that obviously have some experience with the chemistry, but more important, the productivity consistently is just going to have to be there when you look at the game that you mentioned right away on the road in week two against Texas, because that's a team that's looking to get their lick back that is very, very talented, that's going to be obviously in a tough environment. And so when you talk about taking your offense on the road into a hostile environment where obviously the noise is going to play a factor, is the offensive line early on in the season going to have enough chemistry to be able to deal with that moment? We're going to find out. But I think to your point, where Julian is in his career, things won't be as fast as they were. At least they seem to be for him late in the year because of what he went through, connecting that into another offseason to that game. I'm not going to be surprised at all if the offense has a good showing on the road in Texas, because I think Julian is going to have more control of just the entire operation.
Obviously, Texas has changes on defense as well. They lose a key cornerback in Malik Muhammad, Anthony Hill, linebackers. So they're going to be dealing with things too, just like Ohio State is. You know, we've known what this schedule is going to be for a while. We've known what the over-under is going to be for a while at 9.5 wins for Ohio State. Looking at this, how do you feel that it plays out for the Buckeyes? If you had to go off the top of your head, over or under, where do you sit?
I would go over right now because I do think with Matt Patricia as the defensive coordinator in year two, the defense is going to travel the way that it did last year. And I think taking that on the road into tough spots where you're going up against USC and Indiana, I think that can be the difference to get me to the over of those two games, because I do think with the defense, especially, I'm very excited about the secondary, like the back end of the deep, which is crazy to say, right? Like, you lose a Caleb Downs, but you turn a page. And I think with the addition of Earl Little, with the experience now that the corners have on the outside,
everybody's excited about Sanchez.
100%, yeah. Right? Like Devin Sanchez and those guys, that unit, I think, is ready to really step up. So I just have confidence, Dylan, that between Texas, Indiana, and USC, three games away from the shoe, that the defense will hold up and be able to make the game a little bit easier for the offense. So that's why I feel like I can get them to that over because of that. Where are you at?
All right. I'm with you on the over. I think Ohio State wins at least 10 games this season. I just don't think Ryan Day lets that happen. And I think Sayan's going to be too good this year where that's not going to happen. For you, is it one loss? Is it two losses? If so, where do those losses come for you?
It's hard for me to see them going out to USC and losing. The scene over in Bloomington for that game is going to be an absolute movie.
Well, that's a big question mark game, right? Because even though that's the defending national champions, and even though Indiana has been that school for back-to-back years now, there's still some level of uncertainty, right? Like, they've lost receivers. They've lost some things on their defense. Yeah. D'Angelo Pons, the cornerback, they lost an edge rusher. And, of course, they lost the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I still don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess I'm leaning more towards now trusting in Cignetti to reload based off of now two laps around the track of having to do that at the most important position, to your point, going from Curtis Fork to Mendoza to now Josh Hoover. This is going to be, I think, obviously another successful year for Ohio State, but this is going to be more of a clunkier road for them just based off the opponents that they're going to face. But obviously we know they have enough talent to beat all the teams that we mentioned. Got to take a break. Top of the hour in a deep dive. It's Championship Monday with the Canes winning the cup, the Knicks winning the trophy in the NBA. We're going to look back and highlight three of our favorite championship teams in the history of sports. We're going to hear from you as well in the chat. Get on in here. We're coming back after the break with Rothman and Ice right here on the Live Better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Five-star guard L.J. Smith from Oak Hill Academy has reclassified from the 2027 class and will join Ohio State men's basketball's 2026 roster. He committed to the Buckeyes in November of last year. Baseball, the Reds host the Mets tonight at 7:10. Hear it on the Fan after the Buckeye Show. Guardians are off before a 9-game road trip at the Brewers, White Sox, and Astros. They'll be without All-Star Jose Ramirez, who's on the injured list with a left hamate fracture that requires surgery. College World Series, Alabama and Texas duel in an elimination game from Omaha, Nebraska, coming up at 2. And in the World Cup, Cape Verde shock European champion Spain with a 0-0 draw. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net. Breaking sports news when it happens to the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
Welcome back in. Final hour of the show on a Monday. Bottom of the hour, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com, will join us to talk all things Ohio State football. We'll get his take on what Joel Klatt had to say about the Ohio State schedule and win total. Dylan Tyre's been in the house today filling in for AR. Our guy Isaiah's in the building holding it down for TLC. So definitely appreciate these guys for stopping through. You know, we were talking during the break about some of the other sporting events that have been popping off over the last couple of days. We had the big UFC event at the White House. Right now, we've got the Men's College World Series going on out in Omaha. You were telling me that you watched the UFC event last night at the White House. I've only seen some of the pictures coming out of that event. And I'll tell you, like, visually, it looked really, really cool to me. What was all of that like to you on your end, watching the fights and everything?
It was really, really weird, honestly. It was crazy, like, because, you know, you're used to seeing the shots of the guys warming up in their dressing rooms and things like that. Well, they're just like warming up in these decadent rooms of the White House. And like that's the backdrop for it. Like Ilya Topuria, his walk-in started in the Oval Office. Like he walked past everything and it was kind of unique to see the White House from that perspective. Like I went to the White House one time as a tourist when I was a kid.
Okay.
But seeing some of the stuff you're not allowed to see on camera honestly offered a unique perspective.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, I feel like the last fight that we saw, Justin Gaethje beating Topuria, who, you know, might be the best pound-for-pound fighter in UFC, it's one of the biggest upsets in UFC history, it deserved more than 4,000 people in the audience. Like, it would have been, if that fight is in Vegas, the crowd is going nuts the entire time. So that was maybe the one bad part about it. It was just a really weird, weird thing to see all of it and the way they did it. I'll say, like, the walk-ins were all done by a live military band, which was really cool.
I'm here for that.
But all the fights were great. Like, we got a finish in every fight, essentially. The last one got called off, but it all the fights, I think, lived up to what you wanted to see.
I thought it was a pretty cool idea. Zeke, are you in on UFC at all? Did you tap into the event at the White House last night?
I watched the beginning of it after it got delayed a little bit, and I just wanted to see, like, the spectacle of it. I'm not much of a UFC guy. I'm not big into any of the fighting sports, but I just wanted to see them on the lawn in front of the White House. And the coolest part, it was like one of those sports, and I was talking to you before the show, it was like watching the college basketball games that were on, like, the boats that they did on, like, the aircraft carriers. It's just one of those, like, spectacle sports that you want to see. I needed to see it. I didn't need to watch the fights. I just wanted to see what it looked like, and the presentation was insane.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff for sure. So we had some UFC stuff going on yesterday. We had the Canes winning the cup in the NHL and the New York Knicks winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy in the NBA, which got us thinking about a few of our favorite championship teams in sports history. And so I want you to lead this off, Dylan, because I believe I know at least one of them that Zeke for sure is going to have on his list. And if they're not on his list, he is not a true Cleveland sports fan. So I'm going to start with you, and then we'll get to the obvious one with Zeke. But Dylan, one of your favorite sports teams that won a championship in history is whom?
The 2005 Chicago White Sox. I can't believe we've done this much White Sox baseball talk on Rothman and Ice, but I'm here for it. And for the listeners out there that don't want to hear it, sorry about it, but this is the first team that I cared about in my life that won a major championship. The 2005 Chicago White Sox were an extremely fun team, swept the World Series with just an unbelievable pitching staff. No really superstars on that pitching staff, just a bunch of really good players. And you think about the offense for the White Sox that year, obviously Paul Konerko, Scott Podsednik coming up huge for them in the World Series. Jermaine Dye, all these guys, but the 2005 White Sox will always hold a special spot in my
life. I like it. That's a good call. That is a good call. Now, Zeke, we did the floor is yours earlier. I'm going to give you the floor right now to talk about, I'm sure, one of the obvious teams that is your favorite championship winner.
I mean, come on. The 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers, that might go down as one of the greatest championship runs ever. And it all needed to happen in just a three-game span.
I agree.
The 3-1 comeback with LeBron was incredible. Cleveland, this is for you. It was literally storybook.
You had it all, right? They were on my list, too. The block, the shot. I'll tell you this, too. Just even a couple of the additions on that team of Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Delly was on that team. Like, just that was a fun watch. And then, obviously, Kevin Love. But the 2016 Cavs, I mean, even outside of the playoffs, they were one of those teams where every night I would make an effort. Like, I'm not missing a Cavs game. And you know, right? Hockey, basketball, baseball. You're talking 80-plus, 100-plus games a year. That stuff right there was must-see TV. So the 2016 Cavs were absolutely on my list as well. I'm going to hit you with what I think is a random team that nobody's really going to have on their list. But I loved watching them ball. It is the 2021 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
They were on my list, Maddie.
Okay. So
all the OGs.
That's
come on.
Wild to me. I didn't think anybody
Tom
would have.
Tom Brady, though.
It was just the collective names that came together that I loved.
Gronk.
A.B.
Leonard Fournette.
And then you still had Mike Evans and all those guys in the mix. There was something for me about watching Tom Brady and that offense every week to where I was like, I'm in on this. So they've been one of my favorite championship teams. Just the piecing it together on the fly was wild. And Antonio Brown playing the way that he did was insane. So yeah, I'm going 2021 Tampa Bay Buccaneers for me.
Certainly unique, certainly insane, but
you don't like it.
I told you earlier in the show, if it ain't the Chicago Bears, I want you to lose. I want you to lose. I don't care about that. Tom Brady, he'd won enough. I don't care about Tom Brady.
You know, it was for me, too, because I was kind of team Tom over team Bill.
I get that.
So I was kind of pulling for him, too, to get that done away from Bill. So, y'all go 2021 Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Brady, AB, all the crazy stuff with him. And, just the weapons, man. It was insane to watch, and Tom obviously still had it. So, yeah, they were a fun watch for me. Who's next on your list?
So I'm going to break the rules a little bit, and I'm going to go with an individual rather than a team championship here. I'm a big horse racing fan, and in 2006, a horse race called Barbaro won the Kentucky Derby. And that was like the first racehorse that I'd ever fallen in love with. I absolutely love Barbaro. And unfortunately, Barbaro shattered his leg at the Preakness Stakes just 2 weeks later. They performed, you know, miraculous veterinary technology at the time to try to rehabilitate him, but unfortunately had to euthanize him 8 months later. A beloved horse across America, I actually got to see Barbaro's grave at Churchill Downs. I went to the Kentucky Derby a few years ago. He's the only horse buried at Churchill Downs, I believe, but I love Barbaro. He's the reason I fell in love with horse racing. So a great Kentucky Derby champion. Okay. Shout out Barbaro.
Interesting. Zeke, do you have another one? Would you like to? You have another one?
I've got another one. I'm going to go ahead and scrap the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because you obviously already took that one, even though I can't believe that you also had that. But I'll take the 2007 Indianapolis Colts. Ooh. I loved me some Peyton Manning.
They beat the Bears in that Super Bowl.
I know, Dylan. I'm not trying to rub dirt in it, but Marvin Harrison, on. Reggie Wayne, Joseph Addai, Peyton Manning, that team was so darn likable. Oh, Dallas Clark, Jeff Saturday.
Dylan, I promise we did not plan this. Zeke and I did not plan this at all. At least my team didn't directly affect your team. The team that he mentioned wiped you guys out.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess I could have gone with the 2006 NFC Championship Chicago Bears. That could have been my favorite title team, but whatever, Isaiah.
Oh, that's good stuff. Hey, in the chat, let us know some of your favorite championship teams in history. You mentioned an individual accomplishment for someone. I've got one of those, too. You got me thinking about that. We'll continue this conversation and pre-snap reads after the break. We're Rothman and Ice right here.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer.
The Beat with Austin and Berg.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine to kick off the work week and much cooler with highs only getting in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with lows down into the 50s. Tuesday will be a mostly sunny day and warmer with a little bit more wind and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place.
Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, welcome back in. Dylan Tyer in the building today for AR. If you're just now joining the program, in our previous segment, we started a conversation because of the Canes winning the Stanley Cup and the Knicks winning the NBA championship about some of our favorite championship teams in sports history. We've mentioned the 2016 Cavs, the 2021 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You mentioned something in the world of horse racing.
Barbaro, the 2006 Kentucky Derby champion.
We've got a good list going here. Since you mentioned that, you got me thinking about an individual accomplishment. And I'll never forget, Dylan, how I felt the weekend of the 2019 Masters. Watching Tiger Woods do what I thought was the unthinkable at the time. And just going from Thursday to Friday into Saturday thinking, this is real. Like, he's back, at least for now.
The 12th hole on Sunday.
Insane.
Yeah.
All of that into another green jacket for one of my favorite athletes of all time. That is one of my favorite championship accomplishments, individual or team, in history, because I just didn't think that I would ever see that again. Like, I was starting to get to a point to where it was like him just competing and being in the mix late is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Let alone winning the ultimate prize in the sport. So, yeah, I'll go 2019 Tiger down at Augusta. That's got to be on my list.
It's a tremendous call out. And it's something at that point, when he won that Masters, immediately it comes to the top of your mind where you're like, okay, can he do this again? Can he do it at another major? Yeah. And I think at that point, people are kind of like, yeah, I don't think it's too far-fetched to see him win maybe one more in the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Yeah. In hindsight, it's like, man, wish I would have enjoyed that just a little bit more. And that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. It was really cool. It was history, obviously. But knowing what we know now, I think it makes it that much more special.
And, you know, you bring up something that I think about often. Do we enjoy things enough anymore? And I don't think we do, because we move on so quickly from everything. Like the other day when the Knicks won the championship, an hour after they won it, you're getting alerts of a 2027, you know, finals prediction and just all this stuff. And we're never really where our feet are, I think, enough. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's something I try to remind myself of a lot, is just slowing down, because everything around us is so fast that we just consume things and we're just on to the next.
Well, in speaking about let's be where our feet are, I do think we need to bring up the 2014 Ohio State Buckeyes, right?
Got to.
They're the whole reason that I'm in this chair right now, to be honest with you. I was applying for colleges at that point. I was a senior in high school, and I had not applied to Ohio State, and they were in the national title game, and I was like, you know what? I want to go to a blue blood school. I'm going to apply to Ohio State, and the rest is history. Here I am sitting in this chair talking sports with you.
I mean, it's no doubt going to go down as one of the most memorable teams, I think, in college football, but no doubt here in Columbus. Because I'll never forget the conversations / doubt that was around them when we found out about the path that they were going to have to go through.
Of course.
Right? With the whole Alabama and then Oregon and all of that.
Like the quarterback situation.
There were some questions about, can Ohio State compete with these SEC big dogs consistently? Do they have what it takes at the quarterback position? And then it was just a magic carpet ride, man. Like it really, really was, with the way that they handled business. So no doubt 2014 Buckeyes belong on this list. Isaiah, do you have any more that you would like to add to the conversation?
Another one that I think is a good one, and this one feels individual, even though it's not, was Dirk Nowitzki taking down Miami Heat. I remember watching the Mavs, and I thinking back to then, I wasn't even cheering for the Mavericks because I've always been a LeBron guy, but just seeing Dirk carry the weight of the world on his shoulders, unbelievable run.
It was the ultimate kind of underdog feel to that, right? Because you just had the supervillain in the Heat, LeBron, D-Wade, Bosch, that unit going up against, like you said, what was perceived as Dirk and just a bunch of guys, right? Like you had the Sean Marions and the Jason Terrys of the world. But yeah, Dirk was just absolutely on one. It just never felt like he was missing a shot during the run. So I think that's a good call. Personally, for me, I have to have on here the 2012-2013 Baltimore Ravens.
Of course.
I just have to, because it was just a combination of everything. You had the Unks on their last leg and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. You had Joe Flacco going on an absolute heater. We always talk about like timing up good heaters and good winning streaks for teams at the most important time. That was absolutely what happened with Flacco. Flacco during that playoff run, I believe, was 11 touchdowns, no interceptions or something bananas like that. So everything just came together perfectly. And then you get to that Super Bowl, and then the whole situation with the lights going out and everything, like it was just an emotional roller coaster for me. But it was just for Ray Lewis and Ed Reed specifically, kind of sending them out with that Super Bowl. That's got to be, for me, one of my favorite teams ever.
Harbaugh Bowl too.
No, right. Absolutely. The brothers getting after each other there. So yeah, that's my list, fellas. I've got the 2012-2013 Ravens, the 2016 Cavaliers, the 2021 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and honorable mention Tiger winning at Augusta in 2019.
Yep. I like that a lot. I went with the 2005 Chicago White Sox, the 2006 Kentucky Derby winner Barbaro, and I wrapped it up with those 2014 Ohio State Buckeyes.
There we go. We mentioned earlier, and I believe Zeke's got some audio from Dana White because we were talking about the UFC 250 event that happened at the White House last night. And after everything was settled, he was asked by the media about, hey, you think you can run it back here at the White House? And here's what Dana had to say.
I'm always looking to go to great arenas with, you know, good technology and give fans that show up the best experience I possibly can. It was an amazing experience. This was a one of one that will never happen again.
You don't think there's a chance the president says, that was good, let's do it again next year?
I can't afford it. I'll never do the Sphere again and we'll never do this again.
Now I'm just like, how much do they get charged to host? I'm sure it was ridiculous, but like, I would love to know the check you got to cut. Like, the Sphere, I understand. Like, that's one of the most popping venues that you could possibly want to book if you are, you know, Dana White or any type of musician or anything like that. But that's pretty wild to hear from Dana White, who's got millions and millions and millions of dollars that he can't afford to run it back there.
Well, you think about all the money lost on tickets, merchandise, yeah, concessions, all of that that the UFC would normally take in when you're putting it on the lawn there, mm-hmm, with 4,000 people. And not to mention the technology that you have to put in to put on one of those events, like stadiums, arenas, they're ready-made with all of that stuff. The South Lawn at the White House doesn't have any of that. So you need to bring in all of the stuff that they brought in, and that costs money. So while it is very cool and unique to see these events at different venues and kind of on venues that you wouldn't normally suspect,
mm-hmm,
I get it.
We're living in a world of sports right now to where this is...
I also don't believe that, but not to interrupt you, but no, I don't believe that. They're going to do it again somewhere crazy.
I think if the president does ask, I think he'd be like, all right, you know what, we'll find a way to do it. But I think this is a thing now in sports. This, mm-hmm, these aren't really outliers anymore, whether it's Major League Baseball playing a game at a NASCAR track last year, right?
Hockey inside Ohio Stadium.
There you go, right? Like Zeke mentioned earlier, college basketball has played games on ships and all of that. Like, this is just where we are. So not that I'm numb to it, because I do think it's cool when I see it, but there's not the same level of sticker shock that I had, let's say, a decade ago when these things would pop up. And so is there any sport for you to where you're like, I would like to see them in this venue? So just hockey, basketball, baseball, to where you would like to see a game played that you think would be pretty cool.
Yes, I've got one for you. And the first thing that came to mind was that Field of Dreams game that they actually did at the Field of Dreams site. The White Sox-Yankees game with the Tim Anderson walk-off home run was amazing. Yeah. How about a hockey game on a real pond in like Banff or something, where the sights are just insane? It's like beautiful Canadian Rockies around you. Like, they did the game at Lake Tahoe, but they had to build the rink there. But I'm talking about playing, mm-hmm, on a pond as it was meant to be, mm-hmm, out in nature. That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
I would absolutely be in on that. I would sit down and watch that and just have my fingers crossed that we don't get a scene from, you know, The Dark Knight Rises with guys falling through the ice. Like, I'm just hoping that we don't get that. I don't know if you've seen that, where he's like,
of course,
making him go out there and it's just
death
body after
or
body
exile. Death by exile.
I mean, going from the Joker in The Dark Knight to Bane was an incredible run. Honestly, the villains in the trilogy were all pretty good,
mm-hmm,
right? And Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises. Heath Ledger, to me, is going to go down as the best villain in the Batman series, maybe one of the best villains of all time, with the way that he played that role. But what Bane did after, because and AR and I love talking about this, just the opening scene in both is awesome. The bank robbery, but the plane scene.
The plane scene is all time.
In The Dark Knight Rises, just sets a tone right away,
yeah,
for just how much of a tough dude Bane is going to have to do.
I remember seeing that in the theaters and just being like, holy you know what, when you get the Bane reveal and the plane's like upside down with the other plane on top of it.
Yeah. And then the camera shot of him like coming down, like, mm-hmm, holding his arms on the seat. You're like, this dude is just built different.
Yes.
Later in the movie, we see him put the paws on Batman. And down in that kind of the dungeon area.
Yeah, there's like the waterfall kind of going around. But then also the scene where Christian Bale's climbing out.
He put him through it all, man. Like, he really did. And so, I just, whenever those movies are on, I will sit and watch those two movies for sure. The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rides. It's just incredible cinema right there. Another guy that's all over it in the world of Ohio State football is going to join the show next. He is Stephen Means from Cleveland.com. That's right around the corner in 2 minutes. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
543.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, kids.
Anthony once did magic for birthday parties.
See, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so bad.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Dylan Tyre rocking out with you today. Going to add our guy Stephen Means via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline to the show right now. Does an awesome job covering Ohio State football for Cleveland.com. Make sure you find him on all his socials. Also host of the Buckeye Talk Pod as well. Stephen, what's up, my man? How you feeling?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Always good chopping it up with you, man. Thanks so much for joining in with us. If I put you in charge of finding a goalie for the Team USA soccer team, but it had to be a current player on Ohio State's roster, who is Stephen Means picking to be our goaltender?
Was Sonny Styles wasn't gone yet. I'm trying to think. Who's the best? I think the popular answer, if I just want everybody on my side to say, would be Jeremiah Smith. But I think Christian Allegro might be a little bit of a freak athlete. I think Nate Roberts might be a little bit of a freak athlete. So I think I might go with those guys because they're bigger, but they're also quick. They're agile, and they can maybe have some good instincts there. So I'd go with those guys. Or maybe, you know what? Actually, I just talked myself into it. Jalen McClain, safety. He's already in a position where they kind of do some of the same things athletically. So Jalen McClain.
Okay.
The safety is a smart pick. That's something that we hadn't thought about, like that center field ball hawk style. Yeah. That's a really good idea, like reading things. A few people in our chat brought up Jeremiah before, but similar to the way we talked about Calvin Johnson, Stephen, I think you need Jeremiah on the wing, utilizing the speed, the size, use him for headers, things like that.
I just think Jeremiah Smith is a one-of-one football player, but he also strikes me as a guy that if you ask him to play any other than football or run track, it's just not going to go as well as people think.
I also feel like in soccer, these guys have like the single name. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Jeremiah would kind of be like Jeremiah. A fire single name, just Jeremiah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm here for Stephen Means, Cleveland.com, joining us here on the Fans Talk all things Ohio State football. Stephen, earlier we were reacting to Joel Klatt because he was weighing in on Ohio State's over-under and looking at the schedule, the numbers, 9.5, depending on where you're looking. And so when you hear that, what's your knee-jerk reaction to what Vegas thinks about what Ohio State's going to have to go through looking at the 26th schedule?
I think on paper, the schedule looks tough. Now, granted, last year, on paper, the schedule looked tough, and then all of a sudden, Penn State, you know, kind of went sideways there. But I did see what Klatt said about maybe that game deciding if one of these two teams is going to go 9-3. And so from the Ohio State perspective, I think going to Texas, going to Iowa can always get tricky. We have to remember the last time they went to Kinnick Stadium was 2017, and that didn't necessarily go well. And if we are now living in a world where Indiana is one of the best teams in the country every single year, then that's obviously going to be tough. USC should be better, but I guess Lincoln Riley has to prove it. And then I think that Oregon game will be another competitive game like we've seen the last time that Ohio State and Oregon have played in the regular season. And then obviously Michigan is Michigan. So I think if you wanted to make the argument that 9-3 Ohio State isn't crazy, I think you could make a pretty strong argument. Now, does it actually play out that way? I guess we'll see this fall if all these teams live up to their hype. But if all the teams in Ohio State schedule that we expect to be in the playoff hunt are indeed in the playoff hunt, then this is going to be the type of schedule where I think Ohio State might have a playoff case, even if they are 9-3. And listen, this is still going to be one of the best teams in the country. It's just they don't have a schedule like last year where it felt like they were sleepwalking through things. They're actually going to have to bring it for a huge chunk of their schedule.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree with you on that. You know, you brought up the name Christian Allegro, and I'm sure there's some Buckeye fans that are well aware of who he is, but for the Buckeye fan that wasn't locked into a whole bunch of Wisconsin football over the last couple of seasons, what do you think they have here in Christian Allegro on defense?
He's just such an interesting piece coming off what we saw Matt Patricia doing with Argo Reese? Like, is this kid a top five draft pick? Of course not. But he is physically and athletically does have some of those same things that Argo Reese did. He's 6'4", he's 235 plus pounds. He can move a little bit. They were doing some stuff with him coming off the edge, but also doing some more traditional linebacker stuff. And so if you look at the 2025 defense and go, okay, how much of that is applicable to what the talent is right now, especially in that linebacker room, he, and then maybe TJ Alford to a lesser degree, can do some of the stuff that Arvo Reese was doing in terms of, I'm an off-ball linebacker on first and second down, and on third down, hey, maybe you're bringing me off the edge and maybe getting to the quarterback. That's a guy who's just such an intriguing piece because it feels like he was a talented player at Wisconsin who could get after it. But is there maybe another gear he can get to that James Laurinaitis will be able to tap into that maybe Luke Fickell and that coaching staff at Wisconsin wasn't able to tap into?
Steven, you were talking about the Ohio State schedule a little while ago, and it piqued my interest. You know, Ohio State had the ability to, like you said, kind of sleepwalk through some games last year. They're not going to have that luxury when you go to Iowa and then the 3-week stretch of Indiana, USC, and Oregon, not to mention at Nebraska before that Michigan game. What do you think that can do for a team? Like this, they're going to be in high stress situations a lot this year, and that's not even talking about a potential Big Ten championship game or the college football playoff.
Yeah, I think these are always hard because it's such a hindsight conversation to have. If they get through this and they win a national championship, then we're going to be saying, oh, they played the type of schedule that got them ready for the playoff. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't new to them, right? They didn't have to, you know, rise up to the competition. Like last year, it felt like, oh, everything is good. This is one of the most dominant teams in college football. And then they lost to Indiana and Miami. And then all of a sudden we're going, well, did Ohio State's schedule do a good job preparing them to play playoff football? But had they just run through everybody, we would have been saying, no, they were just that much better than everybody. So I think you can look at it from the perspective of if they won a natty, we're going to say their schedule really, you know, toughen them up and got them ready for the playoff. If they don't, then we're going to say, man, at some point attrition got to them, having to play game after game after game where it felt like every other game they're playing a top 25 opponent, that was too much for any team to handle, and maybe they just, like, they got the short end of the stick from a schedule standpoint. So it just, those are the two ways this argument can go, and I think just depends on what their record is at the end of the regular season and what they look like in the playoffs.
Talking all things Ohio State football with Steven Means from Cleveland.com. Steven, I want to hit you with this. The player not named Julian Sand or Jeremiah Smith that has the most pressure on them this season is who?
Ooh. Ooh. Man, you can go a lot of different places, but I want to give two, one on each side of the ball. I think underratedly Nate Roberts, because he's going from being tight end number five as a true freshman to now he is undoubtedly the best tight end, the most talented tight end in that room, and is probably going to be asked to do a lot for this offense. And so to go from we have tight ends galore to we're relying on a second-year player, I just think that's an underrated thing to maybe keep an eye on. And then defensively, it's Devin Sanchez. It's not a conversation. I just think a lot has happened over the last couple of years to ensure that Devin Sanchez signed with Ohio State and that Devin Sanchez was one day a starting cornerback at Ohio State. And now we are here. And when you look at that, again, that schedule, I mean, Cam Coleman is staring him in the face on September 12th. Charlie Baker is staring him in the face on October 17th. Oregon's got a couple of guys staring him in the face on November 7th. USC will probably have a guy. Michigan's got some guys at wide receiver as well. It's just, Tim Walton said it. He's got to be a dominant player for Ohio State this year, and he's going to have plenty of opportunities because of the wide receivers Ohio State's going to play this year to kind of validate and live up to that five-star status that he came in with. And again, they got him a lot of snaps last year, and Ohio State really needs to see that pay off this year because of what the schedule is.
Steven, the Ohio State offensive line faltered late last season. It's certainly going to be tested very early against Texas. How big of a question mark is that unit for you going into this season?
I don't know if it's a question mark, but it's just like you doubled down on it, right? They didn't go portal hopping to find new offensive linemen. We're expecting Luke Montgomery to be the starting left guard, Carson Henson to be the starting center, and Phillip Daniels to be the starting right tackle. If it goes the way I think it's going to go, where Austin Terrell is going to go from left tackle to right guard, and Ian Moore is going to be the starting left tackle this year, then I think that's a pretty quality unit. That's a lot of experience that we also saw, like, had a floor last year that wasn't very good. But Ohio State, by doubling down, has said, listen, there's a ceiling that, again, hasn't been tapped into. And so there's no really excuse for this offensive line to be bad this now upcoming year. Yes, Texas has a good defensive line. Yes, Oregon will have a good defensive line. Indiana will probably have a good defense. But nobody in the country has the level of experience and continuity that Ohio State has on this offensive line. And so for me, it's not a question if they'll be good. It's like, you better be one of the best offensive lines in the country this year, because if you're not, then what did you do all this for?
Yeah, absolutely. Fair question. Hey, we'll get you out of here on this one. How much money would Steven Means need to be the on-site reporter at the Knicks championship parade this weekend or this week to be right in the mix of it all?
Yeah, if you gave me something with a six figures that could cover my medical expenses and just, you know, making sure that I can recover from that, you know, ridiculousness. I remember I was in college when the Cavaliers won, and there was like a million and plus people at that one. That one was pretty hectic, yeah. And Cleveland is not New York City. So, yeah, give me six figures, cover all my medical expenses, and we're all good to go.
That's fair, man, because it's going to be a crazy scene. After one of the games, not only were they beating up Spurs fans, Steven, they were beating up each other. Like, that's just what type of time they're on out there in New York. It's going to be crazy. As always, man, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you down the road. Have a great rest of the week, my man.
Anytime, guys.
Appreciate it. Steven Means from Cleveland.com joining us here on The Fan. We will hit the finish line of the show next and tell the truth. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Join The Fan weeknights at 6 for The Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, Zeke, take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up and tell the truth today, my man?
All right, the first one for you guys. We just finished up the NBA Finals, and I've been seeing a lot of the Spurs with this young core, they're right back. Like there's no way in the next couple of years they don't make their way back to the finals. Now, I push back on that a little bit myself, because I think back to, like, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder with KD and James Harden and Russ. Like, how could they not go back to the finals? And then even in the past couple of years, you think about the Boston Celtics a couple of years ago, won the finals, haven't been back. The Denver Nuggets with Jokic. Won the finals, haven't been back. How about OKC last year? Shoo-in, they'll be there next year. Haven't been back. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think the Spurs in the next two seasons will make their way back to the finals?
No, I don't. It's something, Dylan, that I'm trying to get myself corrected on, is that way of thinking. Because you can do this a lot in sports. Similar energy and vibe around the Bengals coming out of that Super Bowl, right? When you looked at where they were in age, the core of players. Yes, they lost to the Rams. They'll get back eventually. They've missed the playoffs the last 3 years, let alone getting to the Super Bowl. And so there's just so much luck that has to be on your side, catching breaks with the team you're going up against, maybe with a significant injury, you yourself not having injuries. And so, yes, the Spurs have the talent to do it, but I just think, man, there's just funky things that happen along the way, and sometimes you just get beat straight up. You never know. So I'll go no.
I'll say yes, because the Spurs, first and foremost, have the flexibility to make changes to their roster to make them more competitive. With that said, I think they have a lot of good pieces surrounding Victor Wembanyama. He's obviously the key to all this, right? For them to get back to the finals and potentially win an NBA championship, he's going to have to continue his ascension. That's the biggest question. Is Wembanyama going to continue to ascend? Will his development continue to be linear? Will he remain healthy? Will he remain available? I think that's the biggest question for them. But when you look at some of those pieces surrounding Wembanyama, Vassell, Stephon Castle, Dylan Harper looked great in the NBA Finals. Man. I mean, that's going to be a tough team to deal with.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of great Western Conference Finals between OKC and the Spurs. But at the same time, you still have Jokic. Hey, LeBron James might have something to say about all this if he stays in LA. Luka, of course. Anthony Edwards. I mean, all these different players, all these different teams. Everybody's trying to get there, but the difference the Spurs have is Victor Wembanyama and this guy that could be the complete X factor in the league.
Real quick, you guys mentioned the Thunder. I can't wait to see what level of activity they have this offseason. And what this season has done to their thinking. Because they could easily stay the course with the core that they have. They know it works, right? Like, those guys are young enough in age where they have time to just continue to play this out and I think be very successful as a franchise. But because of the amount of draft capital that they have that is with young assets that are very, very good, they could easily, I think, bust a move and be in the mix for Giannis if they wanted to. It doesn't sound like that's the case. But I just wonder when they are going to pull that lever in time to say, okay, you know what? We have all this stuff that we could need to acquire a superstar player. Let's go ahead and do it. I don't think they need to do it, but it's going to be curious when they do it because I think in time it will happen.
Yeah, I am. I'm also curious to see if they pull that lever to acquire a massive difference maker superstar style player or if they decide they want to upgrade around the fringe. Like if you get a Lou Dort upgrade, or you go out and get somebody that's going to be hard for Wembanyama to play against, because obviously Chet wasn't that. Oof. You need a guy, I think, that can be physical with Wembanyama. Yeah. So I will be curious to see how they decide to kind of build that roster going forward. But if I'm them, I stick with it for the most part, I think.
What do you guys think?
And for OKC, like right now they're really unlikable. Like, pretty much across all social media, everyone's just all over OKC. Not fans of them starting this dynasty up. Does Giannis make them more likable? Because Giannis, I feel like, is still, for being a superstar, he's pretty well liked.
I think the amount of noise when it comes to them being unlikable to me is even louder if they get Giannis. Honestly, I really believe that. Because then it's like, wow, this team that already won a championship is making this type of move. I think people would be really annoyed if they acquired Giannis. You brought up Chet in the whole Spurs angle of all this. He's had horrible showings against Wemby. Horrible showings against Wemby. And so that's why I'm fascinated by what they do. Because I don't think that problem's going anywhere anytime soon. Because he just seemed shook. Like, throughout the entire year, Chet was awesome. Second in defensive player of the year voting on an all-NBA team. But that guy, for whatever reason, when he goes up against him, DT, it's just, man, he's seeing coast. It's crazy.
Well, think about some of the bigs that, you know, if they are going to bank on being there every year, which I think they will, like Jokic is a guy that we brought up. Yep. You're going to have to deal with him. At some point, you might have to deal with one of Luka or LeBron, depending on how things operate down low. I mean, I just think you do something to upgrade. Yeah. I don't think that means getting rid of Chet, but maybe a little bit of help, a rotational piece. I don't know.
You got to have another safety net behind him in case things go wrong. And you brought up something, Zeke, that I don't understand people being annoyed by Oklahoma City. Because, you know, they won one championship.
It's the social media outrage with the flopping and just being tired of this. I think everybody hates the team that's the new best team, right?
Sure.
Same thing happened kind of with the Chiefs, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, but fair enough. What do you got next, Zeke?
Perfect segue to my next question. Let's move to Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
So you were talking about Patrick Mahomes earlier on, and I kind of cringed a little bit when you said it. You said, you have to get through, you know, the AFC. Right off the rip, you're throwing out Buffalo. You're throwing out your very own Ravens, warranted. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, who missed the playoffs last year. I'm intrigued by the Chiefs this season. They bring back, obviously, Mahomes from injury. Is it more likely this season for the Chiefs to make it to the AFC Championship game or miss again? Because I'm looking at their odds right now to miss/make the playoffs, and they aren't even, either side isn't above minus 200 or plus 200. They're 100. To miss the playoffs is plus 144. To make is minus 172.
I think there's no doubt that they make the playoffs this year. I just don't see that team and that quarterback missing it back-to-back years. So I would have to say it's more likely to me that they make the AFC Championship game. The one thing I'll say about the Kansas City Chiefs is I think they need to get back to playing within structure. You know, thinking about the way people talk about Caleb Williams, and I'm, you know, coming at this from, that's the team that I watch all the time. The biggest gripe with Caleb Williams, people talk about his inability to play from structure. Last year, if you watch the Kansas City Chiefs, they did not play within structure at all. Their entire offense was built on miracle plays from Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's what they were going for. That's how they generate those chunk plays. So if they can get back to a structured offense, I think they'll be just fine.
Real quick, I'll go more likely to miss the playoffs this year with the uncertainty of Mahomes coming back from injury. I don't trust at all their wide receiver room, and the Broncos are here. The Chargers are here. And if the Fernando Mendoza thing is real, I think they're going to have a tougher path through the AFC West. It was not a tough path at all getting from noon to three with you today, Dylan Tyer.
Appreciate
you, my man. Zeke, great job on the board, folks. We love and appreciate you. We will be back tomorrow at high noon. Do not move. Common Man and Timmy are going to take you to 6 o'clock. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the